Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
One Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. The Blue Jackets welcome the Ducks to Nationwide Arena tonight at 7. The CBJ seeks its first home win over Anaheim since December 1st, 2017. Jackets 13-13-6, Ducks 20-12-1. Coverage on the Fan starts at 6. College football, four Buckeyes were named Consensus All-Americans with Jeremiah Smith, Caden McDonald, Arvell Reese, and Caleb Downs earning AFCA first-team honors. Center Carson Hinsman secured a first-team nod as well. Texas quarterback Arch Manning will return to Austin next season. Manning and the Longhorns will face the Buckeyes September 12, 2026. NFL Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes underwent ACL and LCL surgery Monday night. The team announced he will begin his rehab process immediately. Ranked action in college hoops tonight, number 11 Louisville visits number 22 Tennessee at 7. And in the NBA Cup Championship, the Spurs and Knicks collide at 8:30. Breaking sports news when it happens to the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Back at it. Rothman and Ice. All parties present and accounted for. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Boys, good to see you.
Yes, sir. Good to see you as well, man. I'm feeling good, man. Feeling good. I mean, you know what time it is outside this time of year, so I ain't going to do too much complaining about that. But, yeah, life is well, man, and got a lot of stuff to get into, but it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
TLC was back in the building yesterday from the desert. And how was your weekend, man? Did you get away, anything fun?
Went to Chi-Town, nice. Did a little warm glow shuffle to Chi-Town, and... As you know, I've kind of got this crazy nostalgia going on with all the movies that were filmed in my neck of the woods growing up.
Yeah.
And I was visiting my dad, who is west, so he's out like near Prospect Heights. And as I was coming back towards the city, I thought it was Saturday night, and it was not snowing. So I avoided the snow both ways. So Indy got socked on Friday morning. I missed that. And then you guys got socked on Saturday.
Saturday all day, pretty
all
much.
Chicago, yeah, got was negative 20. Like, that's what they got. Yeah. And then you got that. Yeah. So yeah. I avoided the snow on both sides. But there was a lot of snow on the ground in Chicago. And so on Saturday night, I said, you know what? Because, you know, I Ferris Bueller was filmed more north, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the house they used was south in a suburb. So Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the house they used in that movie was filmed in a suburb called Kenilworth. And Kenilworth, I believe, is per capita is like the most wealthy suburb in the United States. Like, okay. I don't know what the exact phrasing they use, but just north of there is... Wilmette, and I believe, and I'll have to go back and look, but the Home Alone house, which I haven't seen in a long, long time.
I just watched that last night. It's so funny that you mentioned that. It was
it's
on
impossible.
TV. It's going to be on rotation, yeah, as you know, this time of year everywhere, but I was just watching Lil' Kev last night.
Really?
At the
little
house.
Kevin McAllister,
yes,
making,
man,
things happen.
It's crazy. You mentioned that. It's wild.
So then there's another suburb like in between called Winnetka.
Mm-hmm.
And Winnetka is also, these are suburbs that are right on the lake. They're of Lake Michigan there, and they're very affluent. And so I decided on Saturday night, this was about 6 o'clock, I go, I'm going to drive by the Home Alone house. I haven't seen it in, when was the movie made? 91, 90?
I think it was 90.
Okay, 90.
Yeah, I think it's 90.
All right, so, and maybe after that, I saw it like real briefly in those first early years of the 90s. Have not been back.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
How's it looking?
Well, the home was bought, I think, a year ago.
Yeah.
And Kev, your boy Kev McAllister, said at one point he was thinking about buying the house. and then making it some kind of touristy thing.
Museum type of vibe. Absolutely. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't, and somebody else did. And I think it was purchased for more than $5 million. And so I'm driving from the west side over to the east side, and I'm knifing through the neighborhoods that I somewhat remember and know. And it's quiet, it's dark in these neighborhoods, and I've got two cars in front of me and two cars behind me for about a mile or two before I get there. And we're all kind of whining. I'm like, we're all going to the same place.
The same thing.
You could just sense it.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why would the neighborhood be that busy? And I turn on to Lincoln where it is, and there are cars lined up on the right, all taillights, just looking at the house, getting out, taking the pictures. And whoever bought it put like a black iron gate, Maddie, around it. Mm-hmm. So it's not exactly like it was in 90. But I think you'd have to, because if you didn't, you'd have people all over the front lawn, up in the front door. Like, it's almost better that no one could actually go on the property right now. Yeah. But there's a great sign in front of the house, and it says, "Excuse our dust, you filthy animals." And I guess whoever owns it is restoring the inside now, because whoever bought it turned it into like a real modern, like real black and white, really sterile environment, not like you'd think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have no idea how many of the interiors of this home were used in the movie. I really don't know that. Most of the times when they use these exterior movies, Maddie, it's just the exterior. Mm-hmm. All the insides is Hollywood stuff. But I'm wondering if they did use the inside of this house. I don't know. I'd have to find out. But when I pulled up, all the lights were on. It was eerie. There was snow on the roof. Like, it was weird.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this such an attraction? And then I realize it when you get there, how much of that movie meant something to, and especially going this time of year. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when I went to the Hoosier Gym right after Gene Hackman passed away. Like, it felt different. It felt right. And I didn't want to go to the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles house for the last scene when John Candy and Steve Martin are walking up to the house. I didn't want to do that in the same weekend. And I also don't want to go see that one in the summer, because the last scene is in Thanksgiving.
Right.
So it's winter almost. And so I want to wait on that one. But it was good.
Felt some of that nostalgia coming back.
Absolutely.
Feeling that energy. Yeah, I totally get that. Because the Christmas Story house up in
Cleveland.
North Ohio. Yeah, up in Cleveland. Yeah. That's still available. Are they doing tours up there?
They must, yeah.
I think they are doing tours up there, which is like, I feel like I need to do that, man. Is that lamp still there? The leg lamp still hanging
out
up there? Yeah, that's got to be a part of it. It better be there. No, that's cool you got to do that, man. I did, because it was funny. I was watching that movie last night and I forgot that Kev himself was a little bit of a thief in that movie. Remember, he kind of swipes that toothbrush on his way home, and he does drop the line, "I'm a criminal." He felt bad, but everybody, you know, those two guys were trying to get in his house and steal some stuff, and here's Kev, you know, stealing a toothbrush from the store. He was asking the lady about the details, and she got into a little spat. But no, it's crazy, man. I was just watching that last night. That movie's always on right now. Christmas Vacation's obviously always on right now, and for whatever reason, Harry Potter's are on year round. Like, the cash that they got to be making off those movies is absolutely ridiculous, because Deathly Hallows Part 2 was on last night. I was just in a movie type of vibe last night. I dropped a take on the show yesterday, and you're probably not going to love this.
All right.
TLC's already shaking his head. I watched the third Knives Out movie this weekend. You know, I love this series.
In the theater.
I watched it at home. It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, it's not a theater movie.
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think you can go see it in theater. But I dropped this take and I said, I think that's going to go down, or is going to go down, as one of the best movie trilogies of all time. And it's not going to.
The third one.
The series itself. I think the trilogy of Knives Out.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Knives Out, Glass Onion, and Knives Out, Wake Up Dead Man, which is the most recent one that dropped this weekend. I think that's going to go up against any movie trilogy of all time when we look back in history. The casting, the all-star casting that we get, the storylines, the details of these movies. Nobody's going to rock with me yet on this, but I don't know how many movie trilogies that we can name that are that great. There's one or two, but I think they've knocked them out of the park for all three. So I was waiting to run this by you because you're the movie guy. Mm-hmm. And I said yesterday, I'm not the movie guy.
No.
But the trilogy is awesome.
Teach his own. I get that to some degree. And they are good. You turned me on to these.
Have you watched the third one yet?
No.
Okay. You got to get to that.
I have not.
You'll like it.
And it's one of those that you have to see it before you run into somebody that spoils it?
I'm not a spoiler type of guy. Like, I'll give you a couple months until I really spoil it. But no, I just think, man, all these movies, they haven't missed yet. And there's a couple movie series where you're like, okay, the first two were good.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're big on the Rocky one, so that'll be up there for a lot of people.
Rocky trilogy, but it went more than that.
Right.
More
than
that
to stop at three?
Yeah.
This one's going to keep going, though. They're not done with Knives Out. Apparently, he's going to keep making more.
So your take has an expiration date?
Pretty much. Pretty much. But that's just where I'm at right now. So marinate on that.
Okay.
I don't know how many great trilogies you think there are in the history of cinema, but I think when we look back at this, I think it'll stack up against some of the best.
Okay. The one that popped into my mind were the, which you guys haven't, were the Back to the Futures.
Okay.
I thought all three were
great. Somebody in the YouTube chat did mention that yesterday.
Okay. I thought all three were great. And I was never really into the Lord of the Rings, so I never really saw those.
My friends love those. They speak really highly of those.
So I would think those have to be.
The Harry Potter's got to be up there too, for sure. And like I said, I know I am in the minority right now.
But I think you're okay because there aren't that many great ones.
Right.
So I think you're all right.
Yeah. I just think, man, that Josh Brolin in this one, Mila Kunis, Kerry Washington, it was a great cast. They killed it.
We got a lot to do today. We'll do Fool's Paradise with a special guest at the end of the hour. We've got Party Like a Rothstar today. We'll have Tyvus Out of the Ditch at 1:30. We'll have Austin Ward at 2:30. We'll get into Joey B and the mental gymnastics that he's been doing. And then the NFL playoffs and the E next to a certain team, has it ruined it or made it better? That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the 10 TV people come over to our side of the building to take a deuce. That should tell you something about how we operate. The Fan.
Men, it's the holiday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Bishop and Friends.
My wife is like you guys. She feels that she gets value by maximizing the amount of sleep she gets at the end of her sleep.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Seller.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine in the forecast today and warmer with lighter winds as daytime highs get into the mid-30s. For tonight, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies with lows in the upper 20s, but we will have breezy winds, so there will be a bit of a wind chill. Continuing into Wednesday, however, Wednesday will have a mix of sun and clouds with highs getting up near 40. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Always as tender as a well-done steak. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, we'll do The Floor Is Yours at 1 o'clock, top of the hour, as we shift that to Tuesday. So get in the queue with TLC, get warmed up, throw a few pitches. We'll throw you on the air at 1 o'clock. The regular season's going to end in a little less than 3 weeks. The Chiefs will not be in the playoffs. 16-13, the loss to the Chargers. Then they lose Mahomes. And so it was the double whammy, officially getting eliminated, and then Mahomes with the torn ACL. And this is where we are in the NFL, and that it's been a crazy year altogether. I never really, in my mind, would be willing to bet that they were going to miss the playoffs. But I looked at you last week when we talked to Shefty, and we asked him, or I think I asked him, you asked him, doesn't matter. But one of us asked him about, do you still think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And like with no hesitation, yes. He still believed, because with Mahomes, all things are possible.
That is accurate.
They seem like a flawed team. Like they just, whether, when they got Rice back, that was a very well-timed drop, by the way.
It's good stuff.
When they got Rice,
and I still got it.
Yeah, when they got Rice back, I think everyone believed, okay, they're on.
Well, it kind of popped the first couple of weeks when he did come back, and then things just went the wrong way, and then injuries, and then the offensive line fell apart, and Simmons, former Buckeye, was out of sight, out of mind, and he was their first-round pick, and nothing was really reliable this year. with the Chiefs. There's usually always something you could bank on, whether it was the defense or obviously Mahomes and Reed cooking up on offense. I don't really think they were dominant in anything this year, and that was surprising to see from them.
They had bad depth on their O-line, an aging tight end.
Yep.
They didn't start with their top receiver. Worthy gets banged up right out of the gate.
Which was a wild play. Kelsey just runs right into him.
And you think about this season for them. This crazy. Is probably the way he needed it. Like, not for him to get injured. Nobody wants that.
Right.
As I was watching the play, I don't think there was anything too weird about it. Whoever was chasing him down, ball gets away, and I guess he didn't need to be tackled, but it was a continuation of a track down.
Yeah, when I watched that, I guess I didn't walk away from that play thinking there was anything dirty or spicy going on there. It was just an unfortunate thing where he just plants and that knee gets blown out. It was just crazy to see he end up Micah Parsons on the same day and blow out their ACLs. But for the Chiefs, this is just a very odd place for them to be. This is a team that not only is used to being in the playoffs, but going to the AFC Championship at minimum year in and year out, hosting the AFC Championship game more times than not. And they're on the outside looking in, and now they got to recalibrate. Now they really got to look themselves in the mirror and figure out what we got to do to get back to the top. Health is obviously the most important thing, but even in, when they were healthy, like, I don't know if you're really looking at them and saying, yeah, they come back with Mahomes, if he's even ready to start the regular season, and thinking that all things are going to be fixed. They got to change some things up.
I already got duped online today just reading something that said that Chris Collinsworth was taking a leave of absence and for the rest of this. And I thought, oh, maybe something is.
It's some personal stuff, right.
And then I read it a little further, and it said that he's leaving for 9 months. And I was like, wait a minute. And I looked at Maddie and said, did you see this news that Collinsworth is leaving the booth for 9 months? And then I thought, and then the joke started flying, and then it was comparing, wasn't that when they said Mahomes would be back in 9 months?
Right around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that he wouldn't want to be involved in the NFL.
Oh, how about all the memes about, well, I guess Dylan Raiola has to tear his ACL now.
Oh, my goodness. Like, the fact that, and we played a clip, I think, maybe a couple of years ago, where he was coming out and trying to sell us that the 15 was all about Tim Tebow. And I was like,
that's really believable.
Well, I was like, is it though? I was like, you were like 2 years old when Tebow was really popping off as the guy at Florida. It's not believable to me.
So TLC, you think he was deflecting off all the Mahomes lookalike contest?
Because it was everything. The haircut, the headband, the arm sleeve, the warm-up, the sunglasses. Like, it was literally everything Pat Mahomes does. And he's like, no, that's a, you know, I'm a Tim Tebow guy. Like, come on, man. Cut it out.
Well, I think it may have evolved. I certainly think it has evolved into Patrick Mahomes, but I took him at his word that at least started with Tim Tebow.
This survives without Kansas City. In fact, a lot of people should be cheering it, right?
A lot of AFC fans, I'm sure, are very happy about this.
Yeah. And it's not just because you don't want to face them. It's because there's new blood. It's good. This gives hope to the Buffalo Bills, who have knocked on the door so many times. How many heartbreaks do they have? The fact that the Patriots and Drake May, the fact that I know the North is ugly, and I don't expect a Super Bowl winner to come out of the North.
Houston's on their way, AR.
Gives Houston
they're waking up.
It gives Houston certainly a chance here. Jacksonville, who suddenly is for real. This is the Jacksonville team that I thought we were going to get at the beginning of the season. I've jumped off the bandwagon, jumping back on.
You know, it's pretty crazy, too, to think that we haven't seen Travis Hunter for a while now. Won't see him for the remainder of the season.
Look what they're doing.
Correct. They really haven't gotten what they thought they were going to get out of him. But Trevor Lawrence, he's in his bag right now playing some really, really good football. So, yeah, you look at kind of the 1-3 seeds right now, and it's Denver, New England, Jacksonville. Maybe the league isn't necessarily happy about this, because you may be looking at a postseason without Joey B, Lamar, and Pat Mahomes. But if you're looking for something new, especially on the AFC side of things, this is your year as a fan. You're getting it.
Denver, they're
12-2.
I think they've won 11 in a row.
It's crazy.
It's the quietest best story in the NFL.
I heard a crazy stat. The Broncos have not lost a game since that Giants comeback. What was it, like 29 points or 30 points or something like that? They haven't lost, and the Giants haven't won since then.
Crazy.
This team was, you know, 1-2 and going and playing Cincinnati. And I think the NFL is getting a gift here. I know they don't want it. I know Patrick Mahomes is an all-time great, and
they're losing Taylor Swift too now. I don't get to sell that.
What?
All those camera shots, you know?
Like we've all talked about. People are going to watch the NFL no matter what. Like, this is good for the NFL. Because think about this. If Philly doesn't win it, you're going to get a champ that you never thought about. Maybe the Rams. Okay, because the Rams obviously beat Cincinnati in the last 5 years. If we get an AFC champ, like a Super Bowl champ, go through the teams. New England, Buffalo, Houston, Denver, potentially the Chargers. Like, you finally are getting some new blood.
Don't we think, AR, though, that fans would push back on the New England stuff if that really pops off again? Like, they start going back on a run. It's like, oh, here we go again.
Yes, that's one to root against.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Not specifically against Drake May, but you're right, against the brand. But it's Vrabel, and it's May. It's not Brady and Belichick. You're right. Only New England could maybe pull that off.
I think they start off that brand a little bit, and they start, you know, they find themselves in the AFC Championship game against some, obviously somebody else would pick a team, whoever.
Are they like, the most rooted against?
I think
now?
I think they will be.
You don't think Philly would be number one there?
Well, I was just thinking AFC side. On the AFC side, I think New England would be, just because everybody's mind, I think, would kind of go back to the Brady and Belichick era and how dominant they were. On the other,
team got in, which I don't feel they're going to get in anymore.
It's getting dicey.
And if TLC's boys get in, well, they're probably not winning
it. Print the shirts for them after last night, right? I mean, print the shirts. Oh,
the AFC death taxes and the Dolphins not winning below 40 degrees. Like, that may be the...
Or the Steelers winning at home on Monday Night Football.
23 in a row?
Yeah.
See that number? Yeah.
Started in 1992.
Yeah, what impressive. A lock. And what was the spread last night? Like 3?
I have no idea.
3.5?
I don't remember. Yeah,
I think it was pretty close. Yeah. So, you're right. In the all, I hope they don't win it club, it would probably be New England. Maybe Pittsburgh, just because they have so many.
People want to see Josh Allen succeed.
Buffalo, finally. Yes.
Houston, I think people can get behind that as something new and fresh. But, yeah, I think New England would be the one where people are like, nah, we can't do this again.
I disagree with that. I think that they're likable. I think Drake May's likable, and I think people love Mike Vrabel.
No,
if we can get past the colors and the logo.
See, that's the hard part, though. They don't want the city
to be rewarded with another one. It's nothing against those guys. You can't award that city with another.
Again. Like, you just can't do it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I love the guys that you mentioned. Like, I'm in on May and Vrabel and Travion and all that. But the Patriots winning another one, no. I can't. I'm not ready for it. I'm just not.
The NFC is...
Is there a villain? Like, the one villain we can pinpoint?
The villain is just probably Philly.
I think a lot of it too, and I guess I'm just focusing so much on the quarterbacks. I think a lot of people don't buy Jalen Hurts and don't want to see him win because they don't think that his talent warrants a Super Bowl victory.
And his two performances in the Super Bowl, though, have been great.
I agree.
The two time he got there, he's been awesome.
But it's like, you know, Brock Purdy walked so Jalen Hurts could run with this whole, like, why is this bad quarterback winning football games discussion? I think Jalen Hurts is good.
He's solid.
He was 12 of 15 on Sunday.
Yeah, sometimes the passing stuff can get a little nasty, but AR, I don't know if there's like a villain on the NFC side, really. I think I'd kind of be on board with... Well,
now that Dallas is done.
Yeah.
Maybe the Rams, just because we've seen it, right? I don't know if anybody's pulling for Stafford to win another one.
I like McVay, and I'd kind of be here for the unk winning one on his way out, because I think he would retire after that, winning the MVP, which I think he will, and then winning the Super Bowl. He gets
one
more.
Wouldn't be the Niners. I don't think people...
Well, there'd be a little bit of that. We saw them a lot. Maybe that would pop up again and all that stuff. But I think you may be right. Maybe Philly, people want to see something new.
Well, the one thing that we're not going to see is Cincinnati and Joe Burrow and the mental gymnastics that he's been going through the last week. What does it all mean? We'll dissect it next. Rothman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got two words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Oh, the fallout in Cincinnati, although it's always been teetering. Burrow had to clarify his position after getting blanked by Baltimore, and he took accountability, and that's what fans and media want, is for a guy to get to the podium and show accountability and not make excuses. And I've always been, it's always tough to walk that fine line between reality and then knowing what you really can't say. And it happens a lot with teams that are trying hard but not winning. And so when they go to the podium and a coach says, boy, we played our butts off today. It just, like, that's the reality. Nobody wants to hear that. Because you know what the alternative is? Well, wait a minute. There are some weeks where you don't play your butts off. Right. Like, so why are you applauding that you played so hard today? Some of it is reality. And so I see the fine line. He says, my comments had nothing to do with Cincinnati. My comments had everything to do with me and my mindset in football. This is about the not having fun. Mm-hmm. And so, but when you launch into that, you know what happens, especially in this world, where is he going to go? Can't stay in Cincy. He already fell on the sword in Cincinnati. He already did it. Didn't probably want to go there out of college. Went anyway. And got his receiver signed, got his, you know, got what he wanted.
Hendrickson. Yeah, he went to bat for guys last year and got it, for sure.
And so, and that's a team obviously still fighting. They're a little bit of the Buffalo Bills because of not having won one, but gotten close, although the Bills own the Heartbreak City with the 4 in a row.
That's crazy.
But, yeah. I mean, you go 12-4 3 years ago, it feels so distant now to me. And it can, with Burrow, all things are possible, just like with Mahomes, you would think. But, man, I started thinking about him with my squad and the Vikes and reunited him with Jefferson and all that. And, they, you know, part of me being, you know, if you're conservative, like, well, okay, you'd be trading for an injured quarterback and, you know, or guy that's, but.
He's got a pretty, you know, significant injury history now, going back to his rookie year and even in college as
well. You had to be thinking about it. Not that you would trade him in the division. It would never happen, but the Steelers got a hold of a guy like that.
Oh, my goodness. If he became available, Kurt Warner, that defense? We played a clip AR, and he thinks 28 teams in the league would have a serious conversation about Joe Burrow if he became available. I don't.
28.
And we kind of went through, and I don't think he was that far off.
Like, okay. New England, Buffalo, no.
Baltimore, Kansas City, no. So there's four right there.
Yeah, there's four there.
So that puts us at 27. Yeah. Obviously, the Bengals already have him, so that means we're dealing with 31 teams.
I think Houston's saying no. I think they're saying no.
Houston's saying no. They're not going to upset that part.
So, but I think every...
Denver's saying...
They're saying yes. That's an upgrade, right? That's an upgrade.
I don't know the way Bo Nix has been playing.
You got to think, though, that those teams, like the Chargers type of team, even the Eagles probably think in-house, like, oh, man, we're winning a lot of... Like, this is our guy. Like,
I think, though, the question that I would ask myself as the owner or the GM, is it an upgrade? And for me, it's no doubt an upgrade between Burrow and Bo Nix. For me. So I would do that if I were
but
Denver.
But I agree. But we're also on the outside. I'm saying from the inside, there's probably a high likelihood of getting high on your own supply. There are probably a lot of coaches in the NFL who feel like they have the best quarterback in the league.
I got this
because they fall in love with the guy who they see every single day.
There's this new product on the street I got for you called Joe Shiesty. You can get higher off that supply than the Bo Nix supply. That's the way I think Sean Payton would look at it that way.
Well, here's another thing that outsiders may ask, and I'd be curious to hear your answer. Injury concerns?
That has to factor in.
Oh, no. It's the first thing that popped into my mind.
That has to factor in. No doubt about it. Can't ignore that. You cannot ignore that. I just think talent for talent, though, I'd take Joey B.
I saw basically an almost 50-50 poll on Twitter. I think WIP, the sports radio station in Philly, put it out there. They were just asking their fans, Jalen Hurts and two firsts for Joe Burrow, would you do it?
I would.
And it was almost 50-50. If you are the Eagles, you would not do that?
No. Two firsts? Jalen Hurts has already proven that he can win a Super Bowl.
I would do it.
Two firsts?
I would do it.
Wow.
I would.
And already a viable quarterback.
I just think the way that we talk about Joey B is a no doubt top five guy in the sport. Sometimes for people it's top three. When he's out there
should
on the field.
Should we, Chris Canty?
I'm going with, when he's out there on the field,
exactly.
I drop him into that Philly offense with those guys down there. Yeah, that to me is sexier than Jalen Hurts and what he does there.
At his ceiling, he's certainly that guy. Nobody plays great every game, and the game he had at Buffalo when they were still in it was bad, like at the end. Like he single-handedly blew the game, throwing those picks. Great plays by Buffalo, but he's got to recognize that. And I'm with you that most teams would consider him an upgrade, but then you have to ask yourself how big of an upgrade and at what cost. And to me, Jalen Hurts has proven that you can win a Super Bowl with him. Like, if we were still asking the question, I don't know. Like, we've seen it with Jalen Hurts. He's not a better passer than Burrow. I know that. But good of an athlete.
I give you guys, the roster stays the same for Philly next year. They just need a quarterback. And I say you got two to pick from, Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow. Who are you picking? They're both healthy going into the season for next year. You guys are picking Jalen Hurts?
No.
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying you wouldn't dream of an upgrade. You add the two firsts, and then I have to ask myself, is the upgrade big enough for me to give away two firsts with Jalen?
Because the Eagles are probably in a unique scenario where that would be an upgrade that they wouldn't have to make, where they can be in their winning window with Jalen Hurts, as is evidenced by their Super Bowl last year, and also keep the future picks then try to keep the window expanded with players.
The other thing, too, that we got to factor in is if you're Philly,
you're talking
right?
reality, right? Not a fantasy, right? Just want to make
which
sure.
We'll get to next.
Just want to make sure next. Because
here's the thing, though, we got to think about, right? If we're Philly and this is all hypothetical because I don't think none of this is happening, I don't think. But if they do give up these two first and they get Joey B, those picks aren't going to be very high because of how good I think they will be with him. So I wouldn't be too fearful of giving up those twos because I think that team that we'd give them to, the Bengals, would be picking in the 20s to late 20s.
We're talking about something I highly doubt. He has a no trade, right? I would assume in that deal.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That is a good. I know the contract runs through 2029.
And so him clarifying his comments make me believe that, first of all, he fought for those guys. He's not going to now, just because the season ended in a disappointment, say, it's been fun. It was about this season.
I'm out.
I want to leave now. I'm going to force my way out. That's not happening. But it's fun to think about if there was another team that would push their chips in on him. I mean, it's, does he want out? I guess he can dream. I could see him believing that they're not going to win a Super Bowl there, but also in his mind, he's probably thinking, of course we can, if we make some proper changes to the defense. But protecting him is a problem. So a lot of injuries. I don't really want to label him as injury prone because it's unlucky what's happened to him on several occasions. So, but boy, that would be a wild thing if somebody felt like this. Kind of goes back. You know what reminds me a little bit of the Rams giving up on Goff after they paid him and then got Stafford. And now I'm not trying to make the analogy that Goff and Hurts, and although I guess you could look at them somewhat similar.
I think
but we've seen Hurts do it in the Super Bowl well.
Can't take that away from him. He's been a dude for sure twice on the game's biggest stage. But I think maybe going back to that Rams scenario, they asked the question that I'm asking. Can we get an upgrade? And they said, the guy we have in-house is good, but we think Stafford is better. And they made the right call, and both teams have been, it's worked out well for both. Goff's been awesome, but Stafford has been, I'm just saying the Lions have been good in the window of time with Goff under center, but obviously Stafford and the Rams made out better than that, and they're looking really good again. But I think that's the question you'd have to ask yourself is, can we get an upgrade? And they made the right call.
You know what would be interesting? You said it's 50-50 on Philly's side. Wonder what that poll would look like on Cincy's side.
Bengal fans wouldn't. I don't think they would never want to get rid of this guy right now.
I think that once they got him, they felt, and they've seen it get so close.
Yeah.
I don't think they would do it.
You keep riding with him. Like that side of the ball, I think you're comfortable with as a Bengal fan. It's all about the other side of the ball. And I think people are pointing fingers at, Al Gold and Zach Taylor and maybe even Duke Tobin at this point. Number 9's their guy.
That's a really interesting perspective because, that, like you said, about 50-50 on the Philly side of that poll. I think if you asked Cincinnati, it would be almost unanimously no.
Yeah, we're keeping them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think the outside perspective on Jalen Hurts is so polarizing like that, that I don't think that would be the quarterback. Mm-hmm. We would need to go to a different city for a different quarterback plus two first to kind of make that match work.
I agree. All right, we're going to come back with Fool's Paradise. And the benching heard round the fan. We'll tell you what that means next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Now's the...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. And app only.
Common Man and Timmy.
And taste this coffee! They don't make it like they used to, whatever the Wattville did.
What happened to Wattville?
Common Man and Timmy, afternoons on the Fan, is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company. The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Right Way Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Let's scratch that fantasy football itch. It's Rothman and Ice's Fool's Paradise.
Sponsored by Buckeye Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
All right. Fantasy football semifinals. Maddie and I have been waiting in the wings for our opponent. One of them is in studio. The old CB jumping
in. He's back in the building. And his fantasy name is what now?
Risto.
There he is, Risto.
Still?
Yes.
Oh, I figured after last
week.
In fact,
I might... Well, you're right, but I might start him against you.
Oh.
That's never happening. All right, I don't want to hear any of that baloney. First of all, pour one out for Brandon Beam, who sat Kyle Pitts this week.
Oh,
that's tough.
That's bad.
Now, how many points did he score in our league? 30-something?
42.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's probably the highest scoring position player for sure. I don't even know if any quarterbacks... I don't even think Allen's gotten to that. 11 catches, 166 yards, 3 touchdowns, 42.5 points on your bench.
Absolutely bananas.
It's enough to make you quit fantasy.
For sure. For sure.
Bauer's got 5. So CB and I are going against each other this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between reality and fantasy is usually in reality, you would get to the microphone and build your team up a little bit. In fantasy, it's just negative, negative, negative. Right? I don't like my matchups. I lost. Rashee Rice doesn't have Patrick Mahomes anymore. Tyler Warren doesn't have Danny Jones anymore. I'm toast.
However,
it's awful.
However, a couple years ago, CB made a great pickup in Puka Nacua.
That's right.
Just popped off. You, my friend, you've picked up Michael Wilson for the Arizona Cardinals, and he has been balling.
Is Marvin Harrison still
out? Well, that's the question. Yeah. I think it really depends on if Harrison plays or not, because when he plays, he disappears. But when Harrison's out, he's the best player on the field by far.
And what sets up great for them, too, is just game script, man. As a fantasy owner, you got to love it, because they were getting mollywopped early in that game, and Jacoby Brissett and Wilson could just get all those garbage points late, and it's been awesome. It really has been awesome. But, yeah, Marvin's been dealing with, what, that heel?
Shut him down. It's ridiculous. They have nothing to play for. And then the other pickup, the pickup, when you acquire your own players, it's kind of fun too. When you've stayed with them, so Michael Evans has come back. Mike Evans has come back for me.
Good too,
so that's good.
Yeah.
All right, CB, it's you and me, buddy.
It's house money for me.
Oh.
I mean, I feel like I've lost the most amount of games from my players the entire season, whether it was Kittle. Drake London, CeeDee Lamb missed some games. Aaron Jones missed some games. So at this point, I'm the 4 seed. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a bye. I had to work to get here. I feel pretty good.
All the pressure's on AR, huh? Is that what you're saying?
He's in the I don't care league, he says.
No, well, it's the house money. Like, I'm not going to be hurt if I lose to the team that's been scoring 135 points a week.
Mm-hmm. See what he's doing here?
Listen. He's made 32 moves. In our league.
And the best
for a guy
move
that
I
doesn't
made,
care.
The best move I made, I lost, I think, week 1 or week 2 to to Tito.
Yeah,
and he had Travion Henderson. And about halfway through the season, he dropped Henderson when he was kind of really far behind Stevenson in the order of the running back pairing there in New England. Ivan picked him up and then destroyed Tito both at the end of the regular season and the first round of the postseason
that
with Henderson scoring multiple touchdowns.
Knocked him out with his own guy.
Gotta be sick.
I wouldn't. Yes,
gotta
that's the all-time comeback to haunt you. Yeah. Are you guys in a camp of, like me, where Maddie and I had a bye this week? I wanted my players to not have a good week this week.
Okay.
I know there's a theory on, like, hey, if they get hot, it's great, good feeling, confidence.
Oh, yeah.
In fantasy, for me, I'm more like, if they have an unbelievable week when I don't need them, the chances of them having another one the next week. So I rather, like, I wanted Achane not to score last night. He had a good game, but I didn't need him. Don't score.
Save that touchdown.
Just yes, because I'd rather have him go a week without one thinking he'll be due for one.
Okay, you're describing me right now, because I was on a bye and scored 188 because I had Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne.
And now you're like, I'm cooked.
Yeah.
Because I feel the same way. I have Nico Collins in my other league, and he scored, I think, two touchdowns on Sunday. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to have a quiet game next week. Gonna have a quiet game. It's just weird how we all think as fantasy people. It probably has no impact on the results, but the psyche of all of us as fantasy football players.
You don't look like he's
due then? No, I think now Nico's gonna have a quiet game this week because he popped off last week. So I'm with
That's
you
what
on
I mean.
Your thinking.
Yeah,
yeah
okay.
I'm with you.
I'm a little surprised you didn't do this because a lot of superstitious people in the fantasy community, when they have a bye, they'll actually bench their entire lineup. It happened in my home league. The guy that had a bye benched his entire lineup because he didn't want to have the bad luck of having them go off in the starting lineup when he didn't even need them.
That one seems a little far-fetched. They have to move him out of the starting lineup.
Oh,
although I did make one move last week. Oh, no, I didn't. You're right. I could have started Jefferson just to do it.
Are you going to risk that this week?
No.
Or are you even considering that?
I'm considering it based on the Rice situation with no Mahomes. And waiting to hear the Harrison
news. You don't
news.
Trust Uncle Rico?
Gardner can sling it, man. He can sling it, AR.
Against
it's
Tennessee?
Tennessee, that's what I'm saying.
It's at Tennessee.
Yeah.
I have Evans at Carolina, which I don't love, but he was good last week. I do like Wilson at home against Atlanta. So that's not bad. Are you going to ride with Jacksonville's D this week?
No, I'm definitely hitting the waiver wire. But, but it's not a great week to stream defenses either. Really, the only one you could probably make a case for is Buffalo against Cleveland.
Yeah.
But Buffalo's been a run funnel for teams. So if Quinshon Judkins gets going, that's not going to be good. And then you got to consider
teams
like the
Jets. It'd be a great mental hedge for you.
The Jets and the Saints play this week. So that's like two defenses you'd like to see go against those offenses, but you don't trust their defenses at all.
The Saints have been pretty good in third down conversion. And they're going up against Brady Cook. Like, I actually think that's a decent defense, but the Jets did score 20 last week, so it wasn't nothing. I know now one thing's true. He won't be picking up Buffalo.
I probably won't. No,
because if he said it on this segment, he won't be picking them up.
No, I've done that before. Trust me, I've done that. But in my heart, I don't think I could do that.
It's the perfect mental hedge, though.
If the Browns go off, win, ruin their draft status, and then do that to my team, I would feel awful.
But wouldn't you be happy either way now? Like, if you take the Buffalo defense and they shut them down, it's good for your fantasy. If they don't, you're happy for your real team.
Might have just talked me into it.
Mm. Now, I do own the waiver claim priority over you.
Okay. You can take them, that's fine.
I could definitely block that if I needed to.
Kimbe Mutombo, huh?
But I got some other issues
on
my own
squad. There are some
lower-level
defenses. Like, the Giants haven't been good. They have good pieces and have a good matchup this week. You could try that, but it's a lot of gambling right now.
I think a couple names to watch, too, just as far as position players go. Watch the running back situation in Houston with Nick Chubb and Woody Marks getting banged up. Same thing in Arizona. Keep an eye on maybe Michael Carter as well. And then the Green Bay, the Green Bay wide receiver room is always just kind of clunky and weird to figure out, but Christian Watson may not play because they have a game on Saturday. So I think those are a few teams and names to watch out, I think, on the waiver wire this week.
Yeah, Michael Carter for sure.
Yeah.
CB, is it true that you said that our semifinalists for the championship? Is it true that you said that? You feel like that's...
See, I've got respect for Maddie's team. I mean, he did lose Jaden Daniels, and he was pretty down in the dumps a couple weeks ago. But
I've been down bad all year.
He's fighting hard.
Got nothing really from Jaden Daniels this year. Nothing from James Conner. Nothing from Malik Nabers. I'm just happy to be here. I think you guys are going to be
money.
We're just vibes over here.
But I will say, he's facing Tyler this week, and his team went off
for,
I think, well, no Mahomes, but he went off for 135 last week. So he's got high-scoring potential.
I don't like that. I don't like hearing that.
Uh-huh.
We know the Steelers are going to try to come in and raw dog us.
That's right.
They did last night. The Dolphins.
All right. Well, I wish I could say good luck, but I think we both know that
we're going to have fun on Monday either way.
True that.
Yeah.
True that.
I just love that a couple weeks ago, we questioned you about something. You're like, I don't care about this league. I don't care about this league.
And then it's wrist up.
It's the mental hedge.
He's making all the pickups in the world.
32 moves. Yeah. And you know how many moves you've made this year?
I don't. What is my number?
You've made actually 28.
Oh.
I've made 8. He's made 32. I love an active GM in a league I don't care about. CB?
Oh, man.
Thanks for having me.
I wish you not the best. Just a nice little beautiful middling week. And the fact that Travion went off this week, I'm kind of happy about it.
He'll probably go back down to like 10 or 9.
I will say this, Maddie. Yeah. Both of our quarterbacks have matchups that we somewhat like. He's got Hurts against
Washington.
Okay.
And I've got Josh against his boys in Cleveland.
Okay.
Let's hope the weather gets a little better. All right, we're going to come back top of the hour, and we'll get into the floor is yours. 821-9710. You can chime in. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here at the Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Before
broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars, Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State's Jeremiah Smith, Caden McDonald, Arvell Reese, and Caleb Downs are consensus All-Americans earning AFCA first-team honors. Center Carson Hinsman also secured a first-team nod. Texas quarterback Arch Manning will return to Austin next year. His Longhorns face the Buckeyes September 12th. NFL Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes underwent ACL and LCL surgeries Monday night. Jets released wideout Alan Lazard after 3 seasons, severing the last tie to New York's Aaron Rodgers era. NHL Blue Jackets look to snap a 5-game skid when they host the Ducks tonight at 7. Coverage on the Fan starts at 6:30. This update sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. BMI Federal Credit Union has been voted best credit union for the past 8 years in a row by CBUS Top Picks. Visit BMIFCU.org. Coming up on Rothman and Ice, Tyvis Powell joins at 1:30 right here on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, floor is yours. 821-9710 is the number.
Get on in here.
Ben TLC's ear.
Yeah, get on in here.
Got a couple in the queue now, but I did want to, before we get to it, is maybe TLC can stack some up here. So, is Michigan really going to let Ward Manuel hire this coach? The timing couldn't be more awful because whomever it is has to get in that portal, start doing work. And I can't imagine Michigan just saying, well, looks like it's going to be a lost season. Like,
no.
And I know they want supposedly the right guy. Like, you're not making a fast hire just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to definitely be a hire they believe in. But man, this is...
Sounds like Ward is going to be able to make this call, which is odd, but I guess...
Well, is he making the call?
Maybe not.
Or are they telling him, hey, this is the money we have. We want this guy. Go get him.
That they you're talking about is the collective. Yeah, those people, they got a lot of pull. They got a lot of power now, for sure, around college football. So you're right to bring that up. I just think, AR, there's not a lot of, to me, viable, realistic options for them. Like, I don't see it.
There are some guys, Maddie, that are somewhat proven that they could at least open up the bank account and say, does this matter? Like, DeBoer's not out of it. I know we'll hear some about this later. Kenny Dillingham, Eli Drinkwitz, he's not
He just re-upped.
He just re-upped.
But to me, AR, like, I can't put
Jed Fish.
I'm not going to put anything past these coaches that just re-upped because we watched Matt Campbell re-up with a new contract in the summer, and now he's with Penn State. So you just never know. You never know with these guys. No doubt.
All right, TLC, who you got lined up for us today?
The OG, Danny in Delaware.
My man.
What up, Danny?
Double D. The floor is yours.
TLC, we are glad to have you back. You are never allowed to go on vacation for the floor is yours and leave Reimer in charge again. I've worked here for roughly 7 weeks now. I've never seen such incompetence. Hey, rhyme time. I think you need to practice some mime time and quit talking in my backswing. What a debacle. And then we have Stefanski. Why isn't he in prison? Where's our coaching scandal? Come on! Let's go!
When you're rooting for a scandal to get your guy out, you know things are bad.
So, AR, real quick.
Did you tell him the story? Did you tell TLC the story?
Oh, so you, last week, obviously you were out. And we did this with Rhyme Time. And Rhyme Time, he's getting the calls going or whatever. And he forgot that his mic was hot. Mm-hmm. And you can just hear him having back and forth with the people he's trying to put on hold.
Oh, as we call it, open mic night.
My thought was that you told him it was a bit. So he was going along with, hey, you just kind of keep your mic on the entire show. We kind of hear some things in the background. But it was an honest mistake, and he felt horrible about it. So I think that's what Danny's talking about.
There is nothing to feel horrible about with open mic night. Like, that's just how it goes.
Well, when you're the caller, like Danny said, he wants to have his call clear.
So he was the caller on the air.
I think that's what Danny, yeah.
It was bleeding into the call of him talking to the next person, and then you could hear the phone ringing, and then you could hear him talking to the person, in the bullpen.
Well, here's the thing. You just got to laugh at that. I think Reimer is worried about that. He's like, oh, dude, I was talking during people's calls. I'm like, who cares?
He felt bad about it, but yeah,
Danny cares.
It was kind of loud-ish, so it was kind of bleeding into a call, so I can understand why Danny may feel some type of way, but
always open mic night back here on this show.
Hey, that's a Browns fan that's, hey, Kevin Stefanski, your Uber is ready. It's time for you to go.
All right, who's next?
We got, another OG, Vaughn in Columbus.
Our boy, Vaughn.
How you doing, guys?
What up, Vaughn?
Man, so last night, FS2 is a rewatch of, the Big Ten Championship. I'm like, let me go ahead and turn this on. With all the controversy, we've kind of let a lot of people get off the hook and kind of stop talking about it. I know the first few weeks we were like, oh, we can't be stagnant in the second half. I said it after the Michigan game. How do you score 21 in the first half and only score 6 in the second half? How do you score 10 points in the first half, dominate, and then waste that in the second half? The defense was amazing. Now, we all know I'm a Georgia fan, and I'm robbed once again of seeing this matchup in the national championship. I have to watch it in a semifinal again, like 2022. Don't know really who I'm going to root for because I love both of these teams so much this year, but I am extremely frustrated. Out of all these rematches, you have Indiana going to go against Oregon again, Georgia going to go against Ole Miss again, Alabama and Oklahoma have already played. And they probably left out Notre Dame because they would have had a rematch if they got back in it. Yeah, just real frustrated, but, can't wait for the matchup if both teams win their first game.
It's a good call. The reason that you're frustrated makes sense because, if my memory serves me correctly, Ohio State did get the ball to start the third quarter against IU. And I think it was even they got to IU's side of the 50 and Landino beat Shibola for a sack. And so it's a lot of that. And then the next drive was the one where Julian's knee hit. Yep. Like, they were going to score. It looked like he got 3 yards on that sneak.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was, it is odd where this offense sometimes goes and hides a little bit.
Yeah, it got stuck in the mud a little bit for sure.
Like, they're accordion down near the end zone and everything gets, it's like when you're driving like 75 on the highway. Yeah. And then everything just kind of just comes to a halt. Sure.
By the way, you started that call with I was watching FS2.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm aware of that is because sometimes I'll be watching a game on FS1 and the next game I want to watch, they'll put the little bug up there, hey, the next game's on FS2. But, AR, we talked about it. Got to clean up the stuff in the red zone, the special team stuff. Just those, when you play a team like Indiana and some of the teams you may meet the rest of the way, you got to cash in when you get those opportunities.
There's no true super team in college football. We thought it was Ohio State. It still may be. Because when they're clicking, I think they are a super team. Because they have super talent. When you have as many dudes, five-star guys, top three guys in the top nine of the Heisman.
First-round
double-digit All-Americans.
No doubt.
Like, the super team collectively is Ohio State. It's why they're the betting favorite. There's no should now with any of this. It's a one-game deal. Anyone can beat anybody, it feels like. But Ohio State certainly, I think, has more insulation than most because they have most of the talent. Like, and by the way, the whole Indiana thing, it's been an unbelievable season. But if you're telling me they'd have to go through Oregon twice and Ohio State twice and be undefeated, I'm betting against that. And not that they're not good. It's that they're capable of losing a game, too, even though they haven't this year. They certainly are. But they're not a super team. They're not. And they just lost another defensive end to injury. So
they got the Heisman winner.
And they do have the Heisman winner, which may be good or bad as far as, like, and by the way, they're the only team that has to protect a goose egg.
Like, and that was Oregon last year. Yeah. That did not work out well for them when they were waiting for Ohio State to come out to the Rose Bowl, ironically enough, where Indiana is playing, where they will play. Who we got next, TLC?
We got Tom and Hilliard on the line.
All right, Tommy boy, the floor is yours.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, great, man.
I got one thing. It's a bone to pick. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm not an expert on football, but the whole reason Ohio State lost that game to Indiana, in my perspective, is the offensive linemen. Not one of them was doing their job consistently. How many times did I see a defensive end go past a tackle and the guy is grasping at air? I mean, Julian could have torn him apart. He didn't have time. You can't rely on the defense to save your ass. That offensive line, they've got to do something.
Tom, where are you originally from?
Lancaster.
Oh, really? I thought we were going southern than that.
Okay.
What he's saying is real, though. They got whooped down there in the trenches. And we were talking about it all week. This Indiana defensive line is for real. They've been hunting people all season long. There's been some questions on the right side of Ohio State's offensive line this year. And so they showed the ability last year to figure it out. They had some injuries with Simmons and those guys up front. So we'll see if they can do it again. But no doubt, you got to give credit to Indiana for how busy they were getting down there on that defensive line.
Yeah, I think if Julian doesn't underthrow Jeremiah, it's a jogging touchdown. I do. Instead, a big gain turns into another red zone issue. Yeah. Like, and I'm with him that's going to be a big motivation and priority for Ohio State going into the playoff is how confident they can feel with that offensive line and try to flip the switch a little bit. But make no mistake, he's right. The teams they're going up against are physical. The winner they're going to get out of this game, they're not as complete as Ohio State, but they may be physical up front.
Especially that A&M unit.
Yeah, and now teams are seeing that Manny, I remember coming in every single Monday, I was saying to you every week, it was like, the lesser teams didn't know what to do. Do we blitz him or do we not? Mm-hmm. When we blitz him, we get burned. When we drop seven or we can't cover that long. We just, especially against Jeremiah and Carnell. But the teams that are a little better, that feel they can get away with winning up front a little bit or sending an angle blitz. Remember when Jones ran down Julian? A lot of teams don't have that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs him down from the left side, so he didn't recognize the blitz. He was a little bit on tilt with his offensive line. I think that was a really good call. All right, when we come back, we'll party like a Roth star. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube weekday morning starting at 6.
If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate.
If you're a fan of Jeff Goodoff,
drive directly to a hospital.
Seriously. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine in the forecast today and warmer with lighter winds as daytime highs get into the mid-30s. For tonight, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies with lows in the upper 20s, but we will have breezy winds, so there will be a bit of a wind chill. Continuing into Wednesday, however, Wednesday will have a mix of sun and clouds with highs getting up near 40. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a Roth star.
All right, let's party it up. Not sure if you're going to go with this guy or not, but we talked about him earlier, and I think it's okay to do it. Because I've put him in the pressure cooker enough. Trevor Lawrence accounted for 6 touchdowns. He had 5 passing. This is the guy. He didn't have a turnover for the 3rd straight game.
I like that.
His player, coach, both. His passer rating of 136.7, the best in his NFL career. And he also ran for 50-plus yards and a score. Like, this was the game. Yeah. Not only anyone's running to the fantasy waiver wire to grab him and replace their guy, but the fact they scored in their first 3 possessions for the first time since 1998. The Jags scored in the first 3 possessions in a football game.
Brunell? Who has been quarterbacking them back then? I'd love to know that. Since 1998.
Sounds correct.
That'd be him? My guess.
The lefty? Mark Brunell?
Washington Huskies.
1998. Sorry to get us off track. I'm just curious here.
No, that team was a very good team.
Who was quarterback?
The 1998 Jacksonville Jaguars would have been Mark Brunell.
Okay. Yeah.
10-3 and 13
was starts. Fred Taylor in that lineup? I don't know. He must have been.
I guess as Fred Taylor rushing for 1223.
As a rookie?
He was 22 years old, so yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Can you name their leading receiver since we're talking about the
Is it a big name or anybody?
He was second team All-Pro that year.
1998. You're going to have to give us a hint. I don't think I could name.
He's got a very basic name. He's got the name of a cornerback that the Ravens have drafted in my lifetime. Exact same name. Cornerback out of Colorado. He's the exact same name as him.
Something Smith?
Yep. One of the most basic first names you could possibly come
Joe?
Up with.
Joe?
Jimmy.
Jimmy, there
yeah,
it is.
I was, okay. As soon as you Jimmy said Joe,
I knew it made sense.
Okay. Sorry to get us off track, A.O.,
but I kind of like talking about the 98 Jags.
How long it's been. I was curious who was on that squad.
It's been way too long since we talked about the 98 Jags. I needed that hit again.
He's looked good, though, to your point.
Yeah, he has. I was now trying to... Tom Coughlin, right?
I think so.
All right, so back to Trevor Lawrence.
Now name their coordinators.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
The coordinator. Coordinates. Where was I? Okay. They topped 40 points through 3 quarters for the first time since 05. We're not going to talk about that team. And Trevor Lawrence had the best day as a pro, and they're in this thing now.
Yeah, they are.
And their coach should probably be getting some coach of the year votes if they can get through the finish line here a little bit.
That's interesting. I wonder where we've gone with the coach of the year, because Steichen, that's kind of cooled off.
Vrabel just was a little bit. Vrabel was the favorite.
Yeah, he's probably the guy. He's the guy.
Steichen now, unfortunate for him.
I think it's Vrabel.
Maybe Sean Payton.
Yeah. Both year two quarterbacks. Both have a strong case. Yeah, Broncos are 12-2. Yeah, you got to put some respect on paper for sure when it comes to that. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence right now, they are locked in. Locked in. Looking the
part. Your Vikings beat the 98 Jaguars 50-10.
Vikings beat everybody. BTA. Except when it counted.
BTA on them.
Don't be bringing up the 98 Vikes for me.
Sorry.
Like, it's awful.
At least you're not a Bills fan, man. At least it's not that bad. Because I don't know if I'd ever be able to recover from
4
that.
In a row is...
That's all.
I mean,
hey, now the Chiefs are out of the way for them.
True that.
That's... I think the stars are aligning.
For Josh.
I just want him to get in and then... I mean, they're... I heard them talking about MVP today.
Ugh.
No, I don't think it's an I don't think they're anything without him. I know they have James Cook, but he's got nothing. Their defense is nothing. Their receivers are okay. James Cook is a weapon.
Are we being a little prisoner of the moment because of how wild the game was with New England? And we just saw it. Is it that, AR?
Because he screams MVP.
I just don't like how we have 2 months of conversation where we are sure Matt Stafford's the MVP until Josh Allen beats the Patriots. And now, it's clearly neck and neck.
I'm just saying that. I'm not saying that he's an MVP over. I'm just saying that.
Worth a discussion?
I'm just saying that how we define it has to be doing more with less and having an unbelievable season.
I do.
It's
value
not
that,
who's had the best season. Stafford's had a great season, but he's got a much better team in a way. Like, it's so much more balanced.
What's their record, though, the Bills right now? Like, to me, that's part of it, too.
I can give you 10-4.
10-4. Okay. Like,
that's.
I'm.
With a bad defense and no weapons.
What TLC said, I just can't, like, now we're just Drake May, Stafford, you're put to the side a little bit because Josh Allen's a little bit of a
heater. And I'm not going to dust those guys off.
I don't
want
to do that.
I'm just saying he should be in the conversation, and he's not because I think there's, like, fatigue. Oh, Josh, kind of like your reaction. Like, I think there's a little just fatigue for guys that have just won it. Or
Lamar ran into that last year. Lamar should have, no doubt, in my opinion, numbers-wise, won the MVP, but I think they were tired of giving it to him for what would have been a third time, and so they gave it to Josh Allen. He was a worthy candidate for sure. But to your point, AR, Josh Allen plus 500, he's third best odds right now to win the MVP. We mentioned the game that he was a part of. I'm going with Travion Henderson. Henderson was popping off at home against the Buffalo Bills. Final line of that one, 14 carries, a buck 48, two trips to the end zone, and it was long run after long run. The most career games with multiple 50-plus yard rushing touchdowns in NFL history. Saquon Barkley has two, Chris Johnson has two, and Travion Henderson now joins that crew with two runs of 50-plus yards or more. The dude topped north of 20 miles per hour. It was unbelievable. He has now four rushing touchdowns this year of 50-plus yards or more. This guy's electric. We saw it here in Columbus. The speed translated right away to the NFL. AR, sometimes you never know, right? You make that leap. Mm-hmm. You're out there with the best of the world. You won't be able to run away from guys the way that you did in the Big Ten and around college football. Travion said, I got the juice for everybody. Travion Henderson partying like a rock star.
And like CB said when he picked him up, like sometimes picking somebody up in fantasy is also more about keeping him off someone else's roster.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily have to start him all the time, but you just don't want anybody else to have him. Mm-hmm. And he was that guy because he was the it guy in the draft. And then when he didn't perform and they weren't playing him, it was like, okay, this is a bust of a fantasy pick. And then look what happened.
Yep.
All right. You know what I say about kickers? They're like putters. When they don't work, you get a new one. You don't need to get a new kicker in Seattle. 34-year-old, undrafted, turned himself into a two-time Pro Bowler, former NFL points leader. Jason Myers beat Indianapolis all by himself. Sergeant Hulk with the big toe. Kicked a franchise record, 6 field goals, including a 56-yarder in the final 30 seconds. He's converted 24 of his last 25. His only miss is from 61. He leads the NFL with a career-best 154 points. He converted in the game from 47, 52, 46, 32, and 30. Needed every point, and they extended their win streak. Seattle did. Not only did Myers own the game for Seattle, he had to answer the Colts' Blake Groupie, who had kicked a go-ahead 60-yarder with 47 seconds left. But Jason Myers leads the league in field goals this year with 37 of them at an 88% clip. Jason Myers partying like a Roth star.
Okay, second candidate for me. I'm going to one of the best games I watched over the weekend. And that was the young and up-and-coming San Antonio Spurs taking out the Oklahoma City Thunder. Conversations, and we're still having them. Could the Oklahoma City Thunder get past 73 wins, get up there with the Chicago Bulls, and be one of the best teams we've ever seen in the regular season? It's still in play. But Victor Wembanyama, that young core, said, we're here too. Wemby comes back for his first game in a while, doesn't even start in the game, plays 21 minutes in the contest, has 22 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. But this young core that they have going on, this is going to be a real fun rivalry to watch, I think, over the years, because both teams are really young. You got Wimby, Stephon Castle, De'Aaron Fox. You got Harper, Dylan Harper, who was just in the draft out of Rutgers this past year. And they got a big boost of confidence grabbing that dub against OKC. OKC now is still 24-2. But the Spurs tonight got a chance to make another statement in the historic NBA Cup final against the New York Knicks. But very impressed they are with what the Spurs did over the weekend, taking out OKC. They're partying like a rock star in Vegas.
All right, quick one for me, final. Oh, look, Purdue has another big man. And look, he's 24 years old. He's Australian. He's a senior. His name is Oscar Clough. He's 6'11 and full of muscle. Top transfer in the country from South Dakota State. Played 23 minutes, scored 22 points, and had 11 rebounds versus Marquette in that 20-point beatdown this weekend. What made the double-double even more impressive is he didn't miss. He was 9 of 9, and he was 4 of 4 from the line.
Yeah.
Purdue is his fourth school, had a perfect Saturday in a land down from a land down under. Oscar Clough.
Last one real quick for me before we go to Tyvus. Cooper Flagg, congrats. Youngest in NBA history after last night to score 40 points in a game. Dropped 42 on the Jazz last night. Beat LeBron's mark that he set back in 2003. So that'll make Mavs fans feel a little warm and comfy after the whole Luka thing. You do that, that says big time stuff, as we know, as after all the historical players we watched in the association. So Cooper Flagg partying like a rock star.
All right, we come back in 2 minutes with our friend Tyvus Powell, and we'll ask him, are the head coach's days numbered? That's in 2 minutes. Rothman and I.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Breaking Down the Browns with Tyvus Powell.
All right, Kevin Stefanski. A lot of times I think maybe a franchise doesn't want to, they got to be very careful with a young quarterback. Do we want this coach leading him? But this kind of 50-50 for me, because I feel like they're not even sure Shador's the guy. Like, and I'm not saying that he may or may not be. He's certainly better than what they've had recently. It's at least there's a future there. You feel like he could develop. But man, this is rough. And I'm not saying Stefanski's quitting on the team like everyone says, or he's sabotaging Shador. I wouldn't know that. Doesn't feel like that.
I think we had another situation we got to ask Tyvus about this week. I think it was wristband gate this week between the two.
Just wait till you hear from Tyvus Powell why we were not able to get him on the first call.
Oh, okay. Okay. T, we got you?
Yeah. So what had happened was I had got two phone calls at the same time, and you know, I answered one, and the other one went to voicemail. So that's what happened.
Who called you?
You had dueling phone calls, and we lost the phone off.
Who called you?
Because they called a split second sooner than y'all.
Who's that?
Technically, I didn't. Well, his name is Richard Kevin Sherman. Oh. Just so happened to call me.
That's your boy. Yeah, that's your boy, Richard Sherman. Yeah, that's his guy.
We got bumped for sure.
We're not friends. The only reason that we even deal with each other is because our wives are friends. Outside of that, I don't really like the guy.
Yeah. And I don't have a wife that's friends with his wife either, and I don't like him either.
You know, AR, I agree with Crabtree. I'm on Crabtree's side.
That's right. I've always been Team Crabtree, and I always have been. So what'd you tell him? You'll call him back?
I told him. Correct.
Okay.
I told him I got stuff going on. I got to call you back.
sounds like you've had a busy morning, my man. Like, what was happening this morning? Late arrival to the show?
Woke up late?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No, no. Don't spread that lie. Listen, one thing we're not going to do on 97.1 The Fan is spread lies and false narratives. I did not wake up late. I have two alarm clocks. One goes off at 4:45. The other one goes off at 5. I was up before the 5 o'clock one went off. Technically, I woke up at 4:30 this morning. So with that being said, I got dressed. I got walked out the house, and I realized that the pants that I was wearing didn't necessarily match the jacket that I was wearing. So I ran back in the house to go grab some pants that would fit, that would match the outfit, I should say. And doing that, that put me behind the eight ball by like 2 or 3 minutes. Usually I leave the house about 5:20. I left the house at 5:23, okay? I get in the car. It's a little frost on the windshield, so I hit the windshield wipers. You know, spray it off, and it clears it up a little bit. But it's still cloudy because, you know, you got to wait for that heat to kick in. But I said, I can see just good enough that I can make it, right? So, and the car heat up on my way anyway. So I take off out the driveway. I go up the street, and it's a stop sign at my street. Now, at my stop sign, the stop sign is about 5 yards behind where you make the turn at, right? So I stop. I go up at what I think is about 5 yards, and I turn. And the next thing I know, I'm up on the curb, and I'm stuck. I'm stuck in snow. Now, this is only one tire that's stuck in the snow. So I'm sitting there, and you know, you do what any smart person do. You put the car in drive, you hit the gas, it don't work. You put the car in reverse, you do that. You go back and forth to try to rock yourself out, right? Didn't work. So I don't have AAA, nor do I have roadside. So I did the last thing that anybody want to do, and I called 911. Called 911.
This is a line. It's for emergencies only.
This was an emergency. I was about to be late for work. It's a big-time emergency. Anyways, T-Bone was counting on me. So what do you want me to do? So they sent a...
They should have just endured the non-matching pants for an afternoon or a morning.
Well, listen, can I finish the story?
Yes.
It gets better. So I sat there. The officer came. He tried to help me rock out. Didn't work. I get a text message from my wife. Picture. She's out there. She says, "Who? Look at this." Like, she took a picture of because she see that the officer got his lights flashing. So she wakes up, looks out the window, and she says, "Who is this idiot getting pulled over or getting arrested?" I say, "Well, that idiot just so happens to be me." So we laugh. So she then calls me, blah, blah, blah. We make this whole thing about it. Make a long story short, two officers pulled up. They tried to rock me out. It didn't work. One of the officers looked into the car, seeing that the parking brake was on, because apparently when you go up on a curb, a parking brake just automatically cuts on. He tells me to cut the parking brake off. The car takes right off. I was an hour late for work.
All over some pants.
All right. I'd like to get out of an hour of work. Maybe I try to run up on a curb accidentally.
It's not recommended. I wouldn't recommend it.
I will say this, though. I would have done what Tyvus did. The pants would have bothered me. If it didn't match the fit, I would have done the same thing.
Where were you going today that you needed matching pants?
It's not
like at 9 in the morning.
I'm in Cleveland. I'm on camera. You know, like at the radio station.
Okay.
At the radio station, I'm just sitting down. So
I'll give
really
you that.
But like in Cleveland, you see the whole outfit.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Fair enough. Hey, real quick. The Shador stuff. Sunday was nasty. New coming into the game. They were down a whole bunch of important bodies, especially up front. But what was your takeaways? What kind of takeaways could you even have after a game like that?
We are further away than I anticipated. You know, obviously the offensive line is extremely hurt. But you know what's crazy is that they graded a 70% passing grade on PFF. So that's really actually good. Shador had the second longest time to hold the ball. So that's actually really good as well. Now, granted, he had to do some eluding and some evading every now and again. For the most part, he had time. What I didn't like is the two interceptions. You know, I think the wind played a factor in the last one he threw. He got tricked on the first one he threw, and then the Judy one, that's just Judy being Judy. But I just think it was just highly inconsistent. He made some throws like the bombs to Isaiah Bond was great, but then you had a bomb to Isaiah Bond that you threw at his feet, or you underthrew that. And then you miss Harold Fannin where you zipped it past him and then you had the interception. So it's just he played like a rookie. Like it's highs and lows of a rookie. And I'm not ready to just completely say we're done with him. I know people are they're in their camps and they're not moving off their camps. I'd say if they wanted to make him the 2026 quarterback to work on other things around the offense, I would not be opposed to that.
You good with Stefanski no matter how this season ends, or you still have to wait and see that this doesn't just implode beyond, you know,
no,
the proportion?
I think it's best that everybody go their separate ways.
Oh. Okay. You feel he wants to go a separate way? You feel he's done, Stefanski?
Yeah, I do. I feel that's kind of the vibe that I get.
And that vibe is rooted in not liking the quarterbacks he has to work with?
No, I just think that it's ran its course and, you know, just people don't respond like they used to, you know, and it's going downhill. Like, we're watching the defense regress, guys are just starting to lose interest, and I just think that it's time. You know how you get somewhere and you're there for a while and you did great and you did good, but, like, it's time to move on. Well, I think that's where we are.
Didn't your boy, you mentioned Richard Sherman, didn't they kind of run into that with Pete Carroll towards the end?
First of all, you would not call him my boy because he's an ex-teammate of mine. That's nothing more, nothing less. The ex-teammate. And I think that is what happened with Pete Carroll in Seattle.
Would you want a defensive-minded head coach or an offensive one?
You know, today's game is all about the offense. You know, I personally love to have like a Brian Flores, but that'll never happen. that would never happen. I would love for that type of guy that has that mentality, just that dog mentality. So I think that's just what you need to be successful in the AFC North. You got to have something to you, you know, and the smart preppy stuff just – it kind of runs its course after a while. You know, why is it that Jim Schwartz came here and made the biggest impact that I've seen on a Browns team in the past 5 years? It's because he brought that identity. It was a toughness, dog mentality, and I thought that players responded well to that. That's what made 2023 so special. So I would not mind that, but, you know, this is an offensive-driven league. It's all about the quarterback, and it's all about putting up points. And that's where they probably going to lean towards.
Real quick, how does Deshaun factor into this? So Shefty told us last week he will be around for next season. What do you think that's going to look like for the team in the offseason going into OTAs, mini camp, and training camp?
You got your backup for next year. That's all. He's a great mentor to Shador. Obviously, Shador really respects his opinion, you know, and when he made those first couple of starts, every time he came off the field, who did he go talk to? Deshaun Watson. So, therefore, they got to love and respect. If it works, if Shador continues to get better and Deshaun is playing an integral part in that, then you keep him around for that. And then if Shador, something happens to Shador, you got a quarterback that can at least get you through games.
All right. Well done this morning. You know, I got to tell you, you owned it, and we're going to learn from it, and we're on to Wednesday.
You know what they are? Things happen. You can't let one thing mess up your entire day. You can't let one bad event derail the whole day. You know, I looked at it as I started off at ground zero. There was nowhere for me to go but up.
Good for you, my man. All right. Be safe. Let that windshield, you know, defrost next time.
Go Bucks. Go Cavs. Go Browns. Free Clase till it's backwards.
T4Ts.
See you, man.
All right, that is our friend Tyvus Powell on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. We come back with a Buckeye Bulletin, and Buckeyes littered all over that All-American team. We'll tell you next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
Men, it's the house.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Sir.
love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burr live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel. It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, the Fan. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another furnace breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin. All right, so Ohio State plays, what, 2 weeks from tomorrow?
Yep, 31st. Right. Yeah, New Year's Eve, yep.
All right, so this is the reverse for them. Last year, they were the fuse lighter, coming off the big disappointment. They had a lot of guys with a lot of pent-up anger to prove that they weren't broken. They could come together. This team, they wind up beating Michigan and then losing the Big Ten championship game. And, you know, the goals are still the same, or the goal is to be the last team standing. And as I mentioned earlier, and I'll check it again while I'm talking here about the odds to win it all. And just because Indiana got them in a very low-scoring, close game, it doesn't mean that Las Vegas isn't thinking that the best team still resides in Columbus. They are the betting favorite. The betting favorite to win it all.
What's the juice on that?
2-1.
Okay. Where's Indiana?
+275.
Okay.
Georgia +550. Oregon +8. I think there's some value on Oregon at 800 because you could probably hedge off on that if you get to the final. Texas Tech, you're getting a team that has a bye at +850.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As far as A&M and Miami, A&M's 18-1. Miami's 22-1. Mm. Kind of lean into. I wouldn't go much lower than that.
No, definitely not.
Obviously, this feels
Madison,
like a
too late.
Yeah. Yeah, this feels like six to bet on. But my point is, despite Ohio State losing that game to a team that's also in the tournament,
yeah,
like they're still the favorite.
And I think there's something to doing something before and knowing how to do it. And the coaching staff figured it out last year. I know it's a new set of players to a certain degree, especially at the most important position. But as far as Coach Day goes and Hartline and Larry Johnson and all those guys, right, that were around and had to get back in the lab and figure things out, I like that they can check that box off as far as time on task goes. And so, yeah, as far as talent goes, you're not going to really find a better roster top to bottom than I think Ohio State has. But that doesn't always equate to everything, especially when you got a team like Indiana who does some really good things in the small areas of down there in the trenches and all of that. Could be a tough day for you as it was for Indiana. But, yeah, you look at their path and what's next as far as the locations of some of these games. Can't really see the offense being stuck in the mud and have to worry about weather or anything like that. Like, that would really surprise me again. And I always think it's good, too, when you're a really good team or a really good player and for a long period of time, you really haven't had to taste your own blood, and they had to do that. And so I think that can absolutely shake the room and wake up a good to great team.
Maddie, they still have the defense that can hang with anyone.
It's going to travel, yep.
It'll travel. And the fact that, yes, we're talking about an offensive line that needs to look better against physical teams in the trenches. That's real, not denying that. That could be a big part of whether they win it all again.
Yeah.
But their defense keeps them in every single game, and that's huge. It's not like if the offense stumbles that they're toast. Because another team would outscore them. Like, it's
because you look around, AR, like, who's the high-flying offense in the bracket right now that you're truly fearful of? Like, Oregon's got some explosive guys with Dante Moore. Indiana, we know what they're about. But for me, even when it comes down to who's going to be their first-round opponent, but second-round opponent in the tournament between Tech and Miami. I'm sorry, A&M and Miami. I just don't see it, how they're going to be able to get up and down the field consistently, to your point. Because all we've seen all year long is them just turning offenses waters off more times than not.
Yeah, that's it. There's no super team.
Yeah.
And if it was Indiana again, they'd have to beat them twice. And I just, that to me, I think the weird part is the pressure's off Ohio State a little bit. They're the betting favorite, but the pressure's off them now to protect a perfect season, to be a team that has to repeat. Mm-hmm. Like, because they've been cut, like you said. And so it's not like people are discounting them. Clearly nobody is. But it brought them back to the pack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's got to help them. It's got to help them in that, okay, The goal is still the same, to repeat. And now we don't have this goose egg that we have to protect. We don't have to go 16-0 anymore. No more talk about that. And so here we are. Jeremiah Smith did not win the Biletnikoff. And this was always going to be somewhat close unless you erred on whether people thought he was just more talented than the other guy. So Mekhi Lemon won it for USC. They have very similar numbers. Like, this is a numbers game. They're very similar. And he had a great start to the year, Lemon did. And Skylar Bell was the other one. Was he in it? Maybe the kid from UConn. Yeah.
Numbers-wise, yeah.
And Jeremiah, you know, he battled some injuries kind of late in the year. And I'm saying he was never out of sight, out of mind. But I think if he wasn't injured and got some more stats there, he probably would have won it. But this is usually not an award that goes to an unknown. It just never really has been that way in my memory, but
you're right, Eric, because the numbers were, I mean, between Lemon and Smith, they
really
were
close.
Oh, my goodness.
Same touchdowns.
For Jeremiah, 80 receptions, 1,086 yards, 11 touchdowns. For Mekhi Lemon, 79 receptions, 1,156 yards, and 11 touchdowns, too. So, yeah, definitely splitting hairs between the two, and I think that gets you kind of into the weeds a little bit with, well, Jeremiah had Carnell, Mekhi Lemon. There really wasn't a big-time playmaker opposite him. Don't really know if that hurts or helps, whatever. But, yeah, Mekhi Lemon, absolute dude for sure, and it's crazy, man. You look at his frame, his ability to box out guys. He's a guy that's only 5'11". Like, he's not the biggest
under
guy.
Under 200 pounds.
Yeah, but you look at his ability down there in the red zone to make noise. I was really impressive to watch him do that this year.
TLC was telling me that Jeremiah had tweeted a couple things about it, maybe.
Oh, yeah, he tweeted a clip from a movie scene. Shockingly, I hadn't seen the movie, which is kind of a theme for me.
It's on brand for me and you both. It's
it was some like motivational thing, and he tweeted it right after Mekhi Lemon was announced to have won the Biletnikoff. So just know that all of those passes that Jeremiah Smith was going to drop next year, he's now going to catch because he didn't win the Biletnikoff, and now he's like motivated differently. So remember, he was going to drop all those passes, but now he's going to catch them.
That's right.
Something for him to chase, though, right? It's something for him to chase because when you're supposed to go down, and he will go down as one of the better receivers in program history, you want one of those to really separate yourself if you can. And so, yeah, individually, I'm sure that's something that will motivate him the rest of the season and the offseason as well.
Clearly, he's showing that it mattered to him. That was something that he wanted to win.
Absolutely.
And thought he deserved to win. Mm-hmm. And now that he didn't, like to TLC's point, though, shouldn't matter whether he plays better or harder or whatever, but
it'll push him. It's something that'll motivate you in the offseason, or at least it should.
By the way, the American Football Coaches Association announced their 2025 All-American team today. 5 Buckeyes were named to the first team. Another 4 players were on the second team. And so they are just loaded here. Caden Curry, Caleb Downs, Hinsman, Caden McDonald, Luke Montgomery, second team. Arvell Reese, of course, first team. Saying we know him, Jeremiah, Sonny Styles, second team All-American by the AP, Carnell Tate, second team All-American by the AP, and others as well. So congrats to all those guys. That's a heck of an honor, and a team that, like I said, is the team still going into the playoff. All right, if you're not feeling energized going into the new year, then maybe there's something going on, and you have to see the experts at Synergenics and Low T Center. Been talking about them for years. It's because I trust them, and they've been around for more than a decade, and they are the experts. And this is the time you can go in and figure it out. And don't wait any longer. Take the free TRT test. See where you land on that scale. If you're a guy in your 30s, 40s, 50s, you don't have the energy you want, you're slipping, you feel like something's going on, then find out. If your daily routine is affected, then don't wait and see if the answer is testosterone replacement therapy. And you can find out at Synergenics and Low T Center. They have the clinics in Gahanna and Dublin. The first step is taking the free T test. And that's it. The best you is waiting. And you have the power now to choose whether you want to be treated in the clinic or if you want to receive at-home treatment. But either way, I've said this for a long time, it starts with that simple, quick, free TRT test to get your numbers. Trust the experts. They'll guide you through the process, and then you'll know. If you've been questioning it for a while and you're curious, this is the time to do it. Start the process to a new you. Book now at fixmylowt.com. You can always walk in before 10 a.m. or just book ahead. It's that easy at fixmylowt.com. We come back top of the hour, and we'll get into a deep dive, a beloved sporting event taking strays from a certain analyst. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Care Heating and Cooling.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. Blue Jackets host the Ducks tonight at 7. Zach Werenski set to become the first defenseman in CBJ history to skate in 600 games. Here on the Fan starting at 6:30. College football, Ohio State's Jeremiah Smith, Caden McDonald, Arvell Reese, and Caleb Downs are consensus All-Americans, earning AFCA first-team honors today. Carson Hinsman also won first-team laurels. Quarterback Arch Manning will return to Texas next year. Manning and the Longhorns won 6 of their last 7 regular season games. NBA, Spurs and Knicks meet in the NBA Cup Championship tonight at 8:30. Baseball, Reds announced manager Lou Piniella, infielder Brandon Phillips, outfielder Reggie Sanders, and pitcher Aaron Harang will be inducted into the Reds Hall of Fame in 2026. This update sponsored by Roosters. For every $50 you spend at Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck at Roosters locations or at roosterswings.com. Breaking sports news when it happens to the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, hour number 3, Rothman and Ice. Will have Austin Ward, bottom of the hour. He'll update you on how the Bucks are getting ready in a couple weeks. And then we'll get into our deep dive here. Couple things, you know, just from some top headlines. And certainly the Pittsburgh Steelers are alive. Like, they feel like a team that has a ceiling, and eventually they'll bump their head on it. It'll be that. It'll be a very typical thing. And I've heard all the debates now. Still, this is another classic Tomlin year. He's doing more with less. Yes, he has a good defense, but, you know, he's got an aging quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a pretty good weapon in DK Metcalf. And Aaron could show you. Well, and I don't know whether Miami's defense slanted towards him a little bit.
I just think, man, you invested in him the way that they did. I think it's an Arthur Smith thing, AR. He's a guy that you look at his offenses in Tennessee and Atlanta, he loves to run the rock and kind of be conservative with his play calling. To me, that's the way it feels. I just think DK, with his physical presence and what he can do, like I think they should be using him even more.
Probably so. He only had 3 catches last night, but he did have the epic touchdown.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
They used Gainwell a lot in the passing game, and he was good last night. And Aaron, when he wants to thread the needle, he still can. Like he did last night, especially to that touchdown to Metcalf. And he was good. He was 23 of 27, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Like, he was good. He had a really good game last night for Aaron Rodgers. But is anybody trusting that the Pittsburgh Steelers could make an AFC title game?
Would it change your mind if you found out Alan Lazard was on the way? Did you see that news today?
More Packers?
The Jets released Alan Lazard. They released him this morning, and I was like, oh, God, they're going to do this, aren't they?
You have MVS already.
They're going to do this,
aren't they? Scoring touchdowns.
More of his guys. You know, he loves to bring his homies in. I would not be surprised if that happens, if Alan Lazard ends up as a Steeler. Won't be surprised at
all. What do you think your ceiling is?
Making the playoffs.
Okay. So you don't think about anything more than that. Just try to win the, because you guys have to go to Detroit still fighting. So let's say you lose that game and go to 8-7. I'm trying to find a way to get Maddie's Ravens in. We'll see.
But hold on. You just asked me what the ceiling was, and now you're trying to knock me out of the playoffs. Like,
No. I'm
trying to say, how can we get you out of there? I'm trying to focus on the ceiling.
I'm trying to see how, if reality matches what you just said.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, I do not think the ceiling is the most likely outcome. Although, actually, you know what? If we go down your rabbit hole, it actually might be, but we'll see. But I don't see any scenario where I guess it would be the Bills or the Patriots, one or the other, who would be the top wild card coming to Pittsburgh. We're not beating either one of them.
It feels one and done-ish to me this year. That's kind of the vibes I'm getting
from. So that is definitely the ceiling.
I saw this, that ESPN Analytics is giving you guys a 61.9% chance to win the division, giving my Ravens 38.1%. So print the shirts. I think that's happening.
Let's see.
To AR's do you believe that the AFC North will be done before they play that final game?
The AFC North.
I think we would have the tiebreaker. If we finish with the same record and a split, I think we would probably win the tiebreaker over you, which is why it's giving the benefit of the doubt to
us. It doesn't feel like we're going to get to that last game and have it matter.
I think we're going to be mathematically cooked by
that. That's what I mean. New England and somebody else.
Sunday Night Football for us this week against New England, as you mentioned, at home, and then a Saturday night game next week, AR, at Green Bay. Now, that's Micah Parsons less Green Bay, but still tough place to play for an inconsistent team right now.
Just kidding. So. You know who would have the tiebreaker? At least over the Bills. And if
the Chargers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, so that looks
so
like what?
So it would be Chargers going to Pittsburgh as of right now.
You like that matchup more?
Absolutely.
A lot more than Bills and
New England?
Hell yeah, man. Uh-huh. Give me their beat up offensive line.
And a warm weather team.
Yeah.
A dome team, even. But
yeah, I like that for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not guaranteeing victory by any stretch. In fact, I'd pick the Chargers to win that game. But we would have a much more likely possibility of winning that game against the Chargers than either the Bills or the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. There was a beloved sporting event called March Madness. We all know it. Most of us really love it.
The ball is tipped.
And yes, Teddy Pendergrass style. And I feel like this was an interesting take by Joel Klatt. We'll let you hear it. Because I think they were going down the road of the college football playoff and how flawed it is with teams like James Madison and Tulane in it, and whether we need a Cinderella in college football. And then he completely pivoted to what he believes is just an atrocious sporting event.
The reason the Group of Five is included in this playoff is to avoid antitrust litigation. That's it. We're not looking for a Cinderella. Nobody cares in football about James Madison or you know, the equivalent of George Mason going. Didn't George Mason go to the Final Four or something?
They did,
yes. Nobody cares in football about that. We don't want Cinderellas. We want the best teams playing each other at the end. In fact, hot take. I mean, like, the hottest of all takes that I've ever had in my entire life. The NCAA basketball tournament is a joke. It's the dumbest tournament and the least fair tournament in all of sports. We go and we put teams at odd times on neutral sites in a one game affair. Like, that doesn't crown a true champion. We're not doing anything that tells us who's the best team over the course of the entire season. You know, like, if anything, the NCAA basketball tournament should act exactly like the old World Cup, which we should have groups. They should all get guaranteed three games, and they should be played at the higher seeds arena so that those seeds are rewarded for a quality game. And that way we don't just get to see, like, Kentucky one and done against George Mason or something like that. Well, that's stupid.
Your instant reaction is,
I love what he said about the football part of it. I disagree with the basketball part of it, even though I think folks know by now my kind of rule for Cinderellas in the NCAA tournament is, like, I don't want to see it pass the Sweet 16. But I definitely hear what he's saying about teams like James Madison and Tulane, because to me, those games this weekend are going to be over by halftime. And now we're just talking about, hey, let's expand it even more and welcome in teams like that, or teams that were mediocre throughout the year with 3 to 4 losses. And I just think it's going to be a complete waste of time. And they're never going to admit what this is about. It's, look, there's money on the table and tons of money on the table for a lot of these people that are involved. So I agree with him on the football part of it. He kind of lost me with the basketball stuff.
The basketball take is a joke. Like, that's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense to me. Because they've earned... What's unfair about it? That a better team may lose because they take a lesser team lightly? Or an underdog catches fire? Like, why does everything have to be slanted towards the big boy? Like, everything. It doesn't. It's a beloved sporting event. It matters to a lot of people. And underdogs don't win it. Cinderellas make runs. It's what makes it great. reminds me that there's still some amateur in amateur sports. Like it has a feeling like that all things are possible still. Like I'm grasping to hanging on to this thing, and he's just trashing it and throwing a match into it.
The reason why I'm laughing, because you mentioned the word amateur. How have you felt about like some of the reports out there, like quarterbacks re-signing with their teams? Like I saw Jordan Mayo
today. Oh, USC. Yeah, they posted a ton of those for all their players.
That he re-signed.
Which makes it even more important for us to make sure the NCAA tournament doesn't go away, or that we group the favorites. Because the big boys already have a big advantage, because they can afford more. If you can afford better players, you're going to win more of the time. Like, it's okay that we have a one-and-done NCAA basketball tournament. And that, by the way, most of the big boys, they're getting regional advantages anyway. Not just shipping them anywhere. They're getting some regional advantage if you're a one seed. You're getting hubbed in a city that's somewhat probably closer to your campus, perhaps, not all the time. And by the way, the last time I checked, a number one seed wins this like 65-70% of the time. So I don't know why he thinks that all of a sudden we should make sure that all the big boys earn, like, oh, you got to beat them in a best of three or a best of seven. Like, that's
he did
awful.
Say it was a super spicy hot take.
But he believes
he
it, though.
He did say that.
I have a bigger problem with him believing it than saying it.
But the thing that I don't get is Joel Klatt is, like, the biggest bastion of college football playoff expansion. Because he thinks it's really good that a bunch of fan bases don't just have their hopes and dreams killed in week four.
Well, because he still wants the Bamas and the Notre Dames in. Probably wants the teams that are getting knocked off by the little guy, but because what he said with the...
What's that?
But to go to our point, Bastion.
Yeah, fired up.
All right,
yeah, yeah, okay. We can't skip over that.
All right, where are we?
Bastion. What is that?
Big word alert.
But to your point earlier, you mentioned earlier in the show that Indiana has to play Ohio State twice and Oregon twice, perhaps, if it lines up a certain way to win a championship. That's unfair to Indiana to just throw a bunch of teams and give everybody else a mulligan against them. That's not fair. We don't need all of these expansion teams. And so it's inconsistent of him to be in favor of college football playoff expansion and then say, oh, we have too many nonsense games in college basketball.
Boy, I'll
we don't
tell
even
you.
Need this many teams in football.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good break.
Yeah.
Back with a comment in just a moment. Yes, we'll get, by the way, there is a bet, because we'll do bet 365 next on, and I'll illustrate a little bit of the AFC North.
Okay.
Is there a profit to be made somewhere? We'll find it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Attack and dominate. Morning Juice is on YouTube and 10TV Plus.
Sponsored by Riverside Bank of Dublin.
Join Bobby Carpenter and Tito weekday starting at 6 or watch on demand. More Bobby, less commercials. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Lots of sunshine in the forecast today and warmer with lighter winds as daytime highs get into the mid-30s. For tonight, partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies with lows in the upper 20s, but we will have breezy winds, so there will be a bit of a wind chill. Continuing into Wednesday, however, Wednesday will have a mix of sun and clouds with highs getting up near 40. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, a little Bet365 time.
Let's do it. Let's do it, because at Bet365, if you are a new customer, and some of you should be and need to be, listen closely, because they got a great deal waiting for new customers right now, where all you have to do, folks, is bet $5. You will soon after that get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could take that $150 and turn it into something even bigger when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money lines.
All right, you're not going to make me bet hockey. I told you that I'm kind of on a sabbatical from that. Right.
You're chilling.
Even though I want to wish Z great luck in his 600th game tonight and the fact he has a home point streak of 10 games, I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
I won't put that on him.
Okay.
And the fact that Anaheim's coming in off a back-to-back.
I like that.
It feels...
Let's do something.
No, I'm not.
Let's do it.
The Jets back in the net. The Ducks are decent, and I'm not going to do it. Now, I promised you we could make a little profit off your boys.
Okay.
So if we want to bet the Ravens to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, let's do it. I like this. I like where you're headed.
They are at... Let me get my little calculator out here.
Get that Texas Instrument out.
Minus 135.
Okay.
So that's not a bad little profit if we could bet $100 and win $75.
Yeah, I mean.
Or profit $75.
Coming out of the game against Cincinnati, the offense popped just a little bit, but they lost their leading tackler. He's now done for the year. He tore his ACL on something that you know drives me nuts, AR. He tore his ACL on special teams. And you know how I feel about key guys being on special teams. I just don't like it. I've never liked it. But, yeah, one of their starting linebackers, leading tackler for the team, is done for the season. So, yeah, with that combined with what we talked about with their schedule and some really tough games on the way, including a trip to Pittsburgh, the favorite should be them not being in the dance.
We could probably win this bet if they lose to New England on Sunday night. I know they're home. But even if they don't, they'd still have to go and win it at Lambeau.
Yeah.
And they'd probably have to beat Pittsburgh on the road.
Yeah, it's tough.
Like, I feel like there is a little bit of a mental hedge profit for you to be made on betting the Ravens right now to miss the playoffs and getting $7 on every $10. Like, okay. It's not a bad play.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. I'm going to.
Unless you want to bet the CBJ to make the playoffs at 4-1.
Sometimes, AR, you got to do something strange for a little piece of change. You know, you never know. You got to do it. I'm going with the historic NBA Cup final tonight. A trophy will be raised. A banner will be raised tonight.
That's a great Boeing right there.
Because we got the Knicks and we got the Spurs. Should be a really, really fun game out there in Vegas. I'm looking at De'Aaron Fox. His threes made tonight. I like the juice on three of them. Over the last few games, he's been lighting it up for three or from three. Give me plus 135 for De'Aaron Fox. 3 3-pointers made again in the historic NBA Cup. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Got any issue with Shador not tracking down his own interception? I really don't.
Yes.
You do? I think this is a results-based thing.
Why would you have an issue with that?
Because we've seen guys get injured.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he got hurt, we would have been saying, well, what are you doing? Like, why are you running after him?
I
disagree with that, actually.
I think there's a fine line between...
Love and hate.
That and... His instincts to not even care.
Is this the Cam Newton fumble thing? Is this kind of...
Well, you know the interesting thing about the Cam Newton fumble? Because I've watched that a million times.
Yeah.
Super Bowl?
Yep.
Okay.
I can't imagine a guy not wanting to fall on a fumble in a Super Bowl. I can't imagine that. And remember, Cam's momentum was taking him a little bit away.
Yep.
And I think there was like this suspended animation of like, time stood still. There it is. Can I really get it?
He got body for that.
Shador's pick, when he throws it to the left, he didn't move. So that's the point. It's that his instincts didn't even... Like, I'm okay if you're moving that way and then you decide, hey, I'm not getting involved in that scrum. That's an injury waiting to happen. But the fact that he didn't even move is a little odd.
He's
but
not
going
to be able to do anything of significance anyway there. I'm not going to crush quarterbacks for not running down guys that probably weigh 80 to 100 pounds more than them. Like, what are you going to do other than probably get hurt or get put on a sports center not top 10? I don't know.
And it's probably what would happen. I think it's more of a results-based thing.
At least be a matador and like try to get in the way and then be
slow
like,
him
hey,
down.
Yeah.
run him back into the middle somehow.
Yeah.
Herd him back in.
I think this is a Shador thing.
I think this is another Shador thing where everybody just kind of doing the Shador thing with everything he does.
No, that's not how I feel.
That's how I feel.
Absolutely not. And for those of you who haven't seen the video, Chase Daniel tweeted it out where Shador Sanders throws the pick. It's the one where he threw it literally into the linebacker's face mask and then does not move his feet at all. Like, he has linemen running across his face to go to the other side of the field to go try to track this down, and Shador just stands there and watches. I think that would be distasteful if anybody did it.
Okay.
Jackson Dart is a cool quarterback. If he did that, he would get destroyed. It's a cool quarterback. Jackson Dart's cool.
No, I agree. I agree.
If Trevor Lawrence did that, I think people would be killing him. I mean, if he did it on a day where he threw 6 touchdowns, maybe not. But I think that in general, just if you have an average...
I just think, man, like, we literally just watched Jaden Daniels get hurt again doing the same exact thing against the Vikings. And he got absolutely thrown out of the club by somebody on Minnesota's defense, and he's done for the year. And so I just think...
You can get injured doing anything in football. No, but
we're just using this example of quarterbacks hunting down their interceptions, and I just don't really think it's worth it. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think looking at it, was there a lack of effort? Of course. But then I have to weigh if he put in max effort, would have made a difference. And then I have to judge whether his max effort might have led to an injury that I don't need in my developing quarterback. So they're already out of the playoffs. Yeah. I think what people would have a problem with is what I said in the beginning, that his own competitive instincts didn't allow him to just move a little bit. Like, that looks like it's going to get picked. I better at least get to that side of the field. The fact that he was just like watching it like you would watch it if you were playing in the park with your friends, like, that's a little bit odd. I don't think this has any staying power at all. This has no rhyme or reason on why he'll be good or bad.
No,
moving forward.
This has nothing to do with wins and losses.
Where are you guys at with the whole two decisions that we're seeing in the league where the Bengals are saying we're going with Joe Burrow and the Commanders are saying even if he comes back healthy, we're done. We're shutting it down. I think they shut down Marcus Mariota, too. Did I see that?
They did?
I swear I saw something like that. That could be a misread on me. But definitely Jaden and Burrow. So it's just interesting. Two teams in the league right now where...
Yes. It's odd, right? You shut it down.
Yeah.
You shut it down for two reasons. You protect your franchise quarterback, and you maybe lean into a higher draft pick. Like, I understand why the player wants to play. They're competitive. They're getting paid to play. It's a bad look when a healthy guy doesn't want to play. But that's not the case here. He does want to play. Yeah. You have to make the decision for him.
The issue with Jaden Daniels is he's gotten hurt 3 times this year.
And he got re-injured right away.
And there was
no reason to bring him back.
And you can make the same argument, I think, for Jackson Dart right now. He went into the medical tent again this past week getting checked for a concussion. And they're continuing to roll him out there. To your point about Cincinnati and where they are, currently they have the 9th pick in the NFL draft.
Okay.
As we sit here today.
The Dolphins just got eliminated. I don't know how much they're going to be into it. They were already talking about whether Tua is going to play. And Tua, actually, from a stats game, he had an okay game.
Yeah.
Threw that horrible pick in the beginning, but...
Was that graphic right last night that he has 15 interceptions this year? Or was that over his career against zone defenses? Because they kept throwing up the graphic of when he threw that first pick on the sideline.
No, he has that many.
And all of them are against zone defense. That was the graphic.
Tua. He's got a ton of picks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it is 15. Oh. It's 15.
Who are the top 3? Tua is number 1.
In picks this year. Ooh. So Tua's number one. He's number 1?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some gunslingers they are.
Who's...
A guy that's been having a rough season. Geno?
If your kids mess up at school, blame it on me. All right, Car breakdown going to work, blame it on me.
One more.
Tyvus, blame it on him.
One more gunslinger?
I think this is a trick question.
This next one is a little bit difficult.
You know why I'm saying that? Because the guy I want to say, and I can't say it.
Who?
Mahomes.
It's been clunky.
I know. And I wonder if this is a trick question.
It's been clunky. I like your Mahomes call.
Yeah, I don't think I can go with it, though.
I really don't know. Geno's been bad, so I just kind of went
with
that.
This is the sad part. I don't think J.J. McCarthy has played enough to be in the top three. But he's probably closing in on it, which is sad. You want us to name the top three?
Yes. There is a four-way tie for fourth. Mahomes and McCarthy are both in the four-way tie.
Oh, Mahomes is... So it's not Mahomes.
So there's a four-way tie at 11 interceptions, and third place has 12.
You know a guy who's been spinning it a lot? Darnold? Is he throwing a lot of picks? He has, but I don't think he's in there. He's in the four-way.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is.
So you guys are knocking on the door.
I got no idea. Because I like Mahomes.
Has a lot of picks, but we wouldn't think about him because he's coming off a great weekend, was Trevor.
Ooh.
Trevor Lawrence is the fourth of the four-way tie.
And I'm not. Then why don't you just tell us who they are?
Who is it?
Justin Herbert.
Oh, okay.
Would have never guessed that.
All right.
Would have never guessed that.
I'll say you got six of the top seven.
Where's Flacco?
Good.
Six of how
He's
many?
Probably thrown a
six
few.
Of what?
Flacco. Nah, six. I just did it again, didn't I? Flacco's next.
Oh,
you
is
guys,
he really?
You guys got seven of the top eight.
Six, seven.
But we didn't get the right answer.
Yeah.
We didn't get the guy.
Did all right.
All right, coming back in 2 minutes with Austin Ward. We'll get his feeling on the motivation for the Buckeyes, and we'll get his opinion on who he thinks they'd rather play. Rothman and...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
Today, Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Let's do a little day tripping.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Plumbing. Call us today at 1-800-FURNACE for all your plumbing and drain service needs. Yes, 1-800-FURNACE works for plumbing too.
All right, here we are with our man Austin Ward, Iowa State football beat reporter. Letterman Row, The Fan, 10 TV, and a lot more. A-Dub, how you feeling, my man?
Wonderful. Great to be with you guys. Another beautiful Tuesday in Columbus.
What's the consensus amongst the media people you talk to, guys that talk about Ohio State a lot, on who they'd rather play in the first playoff game?
I think it's been a bit all over the map, Anthony, and I think that's because Texas A&M and Miami have so many things in common. I'm not sure that there's all that discernible difference, at least not to my eye, and in a lot of the conversations that I've had and with some of the folks that are actually doing the scouting of Texas A&M and Miami to lay the foundation for when they find out on Saturday afternoon who their opponent's going to be. It's, you know, yeah, Marcel Reed and Carson Beck don't play quarterback the same way, but outside of that, like, you're looking at, you know, really good skill players on both teams. You're looking at really the biggest thing that would cause, not necessarily concern, but the most interesting matchup would be, you know, some of the talents on the defensive front and the way that both Texas A&M and Miami could attack with the front seven, particularly on the heels of the way Ohio State struggled at times with that against Indiana in the Big Ten championship game, and also knowing that there's going to be, you know, some change there at right guard with Tegra Shibola. I don't expect him to play in the Cotton Bowl. So, you know, I think that's, you look at it across the board and you can kind of, you make whatever case you want to, but I think by and large, they're viewed as very similar teams that have, you know, a lot of the same strengths and weaknesses. And even when you're looking at Marcel Reed and Carson Beck, two quarterbacks who could turn the football over either way that they choose to play. So I don't know that there's a true preference for that. But I do think that by and large, everyone expects Texas A&M to win because Miami's got a really tough task going on the road. And they don't tend to play a ton of games outside the state of Florida. And when they do, it's not always very pretty.
Ada, what's your feel currently on the whole Brian Hartline offensive play calling, kind of just the vibe around that right now? Because he admitted that, hey, that week leading up to the Big Ten championship, there was a lot going on with recruiting and obviously his new duties down there in Florida. But now, currently, you have any update on where they are with that in the process and the offensive game plan?
Yeah, I think the hope, Maddie, is that by the time you get, you know, really back dialed into practice here in the next couple of days. Right now, Ohio State's dealing with finals, so they're still not in this spot where they're, you know, going full go in the Woody, you know, trying to get ready to play a game or anything like that. They're going to ease back into it. And when that moment arrives, I think the anticipation is that, you know, Brian Hartline will have done enough things down there in Tampa that his attention can be fully on The Cotton Bowl, the college football playoff, and everything, you know, on top of that. Now, he's still going to have, his schedule stretched very thin, assuming that Ohio State wins, where they're going to be favored over either the Aggies or the Hurricanes. You know, the very next day the transfer portal opens and South Florida is going to have to be involved in that extensively as he gets his, you know, both the coming and the going on that roster down there for South Florida. So it's going to stretch Brian Hartline thin. He's going to have, you know, some sleepless nights. And if he wants to continue in this role, which he does, you know, that's just the order of business here. I do believe that, you know, Ryan Day is going to be much more active in terms of the offensive game planning, just as he was a year ago, even when Chip Kelly was here and wasn't really talking to the Las Vegas Raiders at that point. This is that time of year once you get to Christmas where, you know, the signing class, having that period open up at the beginning of the month, now with the portal window not opening until the 2nd, a lot of the hiring cycle, while this is still going on for assistants, like a lot of that movement is not necessarily going to occur during this stretch, or at least that's the intention. So I think everyone is believing once they get into the next couple of days and Brian Hartline has settled back in that he would be able to narrow his attention as much as he possibly can. And Ohio State's, at least every conversation I've had, they still anticipate Brian Hartline calling the plays down there in the Cotton Bowl.
All right, Austin, they got extra time this year. They didn't have the extra time last year. The priority on that struggling offensive line, is that the top priority and how they decide to change personnel in there or not?
Yeah, I think it has to be, because even when we're talking about, you know, red zone efficiency and turning some of those empty possessions into touchdowns, you know, that's going to come back to how well you're performing up front as well. And Ohio State did not handle the pressure to the level that it expects, and we saw the results of that against the Hoosiers. So, you know, we've spent, you know, 3 months of Tuesdays talking about Tegra Tshabola and, you know, are the Buckeyes ready to make a change? Are they willing to make a change? Who could that change be? Is Josh Padilla ready? And just about the time that was about to happen for him, Padilla had an injury setback. We saw Gabe Van Sickle play those two, long drives in Indianapolis, and it looks pretty good. Would he be ready for a full-time starting role? Is there a scenario where Ethan Onyanwa is finally capable of making a leap forward and playing at right guard? You know, I don't know how that's going to shake out in terms of on-field competition, practice competition, but that's the spot where you look at where there is a new dynamic into this equation with Tegra Tshabola, dealing with what I understand to be an upper body injury and not likely to play in the Cotton Bowl and potentially beyond that. So, you know, Ohio State's got to figure that out. This is the same scenario that they found themselves in a year ago, scrambling up the offensive line a little bit, dealing with injuries, dealing with dips in performance, and if a rotation helped here or, you know, however they wanted to manage that, they did a really good job of that. And the offensive line met the challenge and helped spark that run to the national championship. So no different now. You're facing that same scenario. And, you know, the only difference between now and then is that Tegra Tshabola, I don't think, will be part of that solution.
More surprising for Austin Ward, Julian Sain finishing fourth in the Heisman or Jeremiah Smith not winning the Biletnikoff?
Yeah, last week at this time, I was canceling my plans to go to New York City, Maddie. So I thought that Julian Sain would probably drop to fourth. I know that came as a little bit of a surprise to some people. I was glad he still got invited. But, you know, on Sunday and Monday after the loss, I thought, well, he's obviously not going to win. And I don't even know, you know, what it's going to look like. You knew that Diego Pavia would get some of the Southeastern vote. Notre Dame's always going to get some level of attention, and Jeremiah Love would got that spot there. So I wasn't surprised really at all that Julian Sain wound up dropping to fourth. I was flabbergasted at Jeremiah Smith not winning the Biletnikoff. I can't understand any world where you can't even look at the statistical output of Mekhi Lemon and Jeremiah Smith. Like, well, you know, obviously people got duped by just looking at the raw numbers. Like, this is craziness. And college football awards voting has been broken for many, many years. Both of you guys have heard me complain about it for a long time. And I know that people are sick of hearing about it. But, you know, until they, you know, get rid of casting ballots in October after 6 or 7 games for semifinalists and narrowing the finalist pool in the middle of November and, you know, trying to beat this rush, and some awards want to have it out before the conference championship games have even played. I don't understand why any of it works that way. You know, college football has a 365-day-a-year calendar now, just like the NFL. Just wait. Like, people will still pay attention to it in February. That still probably wouldn't change everything because I can't decide what actually prompted people to ignore the Big Ten coaches and the Big Ten media saying that Jeremiah Smith is unequivocally the best wide receiver in the Big Ten and then handing an award to somebody else in his own conference for a national recognition. Like, no part of it makes any sense to me, Maddie. So that will forever be a puzzle, but leave me puzzled and trying to figure out what solution actually exists for that.
Yeah. Well, just a little more fuel for the fire, my man.
That's right.
Enjoy the next couple weeks. You know we'll be chatting before then. Thanks, Austin.
All right. See you guys.
That is Austin Ward with us, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
Fellas, I want to bring to you right now a little news about the Columbus Men's Clinic, because if you're at that point in your life where you're noticing issues with ED or low T and you've lost confidence in your abilities, both in the bedroom and beyond, that can change if you go see the wonderful folks at the Columbus Men's Clinic. Did you know there's treatments that can help you maintain what you've already got? Yeah, that's right. Just like going to the gym to maintain muscle, there are ways to keep ED and low T at bay without a pill. So get on over to the wonderful folks at the Columbus Men's Clinic, because they're ready to help you. They're going to build a plan around your finances, obviously your health as well. And since 2014, they have been doing a great job with men and helping out their safety, their confidence, and a lot more. So give them a call at 614-300-7400 right now, or you can book online in under 30 seconds at columbusmensclinic.com. Again, their number, 614-300-7400, or you can find them online today at columbusmensclinic.com.
We come back with Tell the Truth. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle. Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score.
Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In app only.
Unhealthy obsession with the Blue Jackets. We have just the remedy. Join us Wednesday nights at 7 for the Inside Edge. All the Jackets and hockey conversation you can handle. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up, knuckleheads? You're listening to Rothman and Ice on The Fan. It's not terrible.
All right, quick minute here from my friends over Jermaine Honda of Dublin. This is the time. This is definitely the time to get the savings you want. You hear it from a lot of dealerships, end of the year kind of stuff. They really do back it up at Jermaine Honda. And they're on Somo Road, just south of 270. And I was with Rich the other day at their holiday party. And certainly the deals they have, the vehicles they have, it's all there. You can jump on Jermaine Honda's website. But the happy Honda days are real, and they're very real at Jermaine Honda of Dublin, and they're spectacular because you can get rates as low as 0%. You can have no payments for 90 days. Think about what a gift that is. And if you have a trade, they're going to give you an extra $1,000 on top of what it's worth. So it's time, and it's time to get a vehicle you like, vehicle you can rely upon, and that's a Jermaine Honda of Dublin. Talk to my friend Jerry over there. They've got leases. If you love leases, they start from only $239 a month. So it's happy Honda days. They're going on right now. JermaineHondaOfDublin.com. Pick out your next sleek ride and go see my friends today.
Oh, hello. Here we go.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at WindowNation.com.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
All right, so what do you got for us, big man?
First of all, the 1998 Jaguars coordinators were Dick Duran and Chris Palmer. Okay. So whom it may concern.
Okay.
There you go. I think Dick Duran was a head coach somewhere. At some
Bears.
Point. Right? Oh, really?
Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't know. You said it with confidence, sure, and you're from Chicago, so I'll take your word for it. All right, did you have any other guesses to round out the top 10? Because you guys were doing such a good job that I want to see how far you can take it. We were doing the top 10 quarterbacks who are leading the league in interceptions. They got the top 8. And I should say there is a three-way tie for 8th place. So 8, 9, and 10 are all at the same level. So just there were just two more quarterbacks that you needed.
They're all at the same skill level. All right, so refresh our memory and our listeners' memory on who we have crossed off the list.
The most intercepted quarterback this year is Tua Tagovailoa at 15.
Okay, that one started it. That was what lit the conversation. Yep.
Yes.
And then
branching off of that, your next guess was correct, Geno Smith. Blame it on me.
And you gave us Herbert.
I gave you Justin Herbert in the top 3.
I thought it was a trick question, so I said Mahomes, but you said he was close.
Yes, we have a four-way tie for 4th place, and you guessed all of them trying to guess 3rd place. I will give you credit for Darnold, McCarthy, Lawrence, and Mahomes.
Darnold.
And there was a three-way tie for 8th, and you already got Joe Flacco, who is probably the hardest one of the three.
Oh, okay, the hardest one. Okay.
Considering that he's now a backup quarterback, the other two are at least playing on Sundays
so
regularly.
So the ones that pop into my head are the guys that throw the ball a lot. And they're good, right? It'd be Josh. It would be Dak.
You just got him. I'm not even... Stop
okay,
it.
That's not right.
No, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, they're tied. I'm not even...
Work is done.
I'm not even going to allow you to second guess yourself.
That's it.
And if you would have let me, I would have.
That's good.
I was so impressed that you got those two right off the bat. I didn't even want you talking yourself out of it.
I wanted Matt, he was going to help me.
I was decide.
Let the record show there was at least one time I tried to make my coworkers look good on this show.
Was there anybody else that you...
No, I liked your when you
would you,
when you go
guessed
to Gunslingers, like I went to... Like a Baker popped up, but I don't think it's been that bad this year. But that's kind of been his thing.
And
he's a gunslinger.
I haven't really heard much. You know what? You know what I thought about? I thought about Daniel Jones only because he's out of sight, out of mind, and I thought maybe he'd be in there.
I kind of feel bad for Daniel Jones right now.
How can you not?
I feel bad for the guy because he was on his way to getting a nice bag. And you can't offer him anything if you're Indy. So now you go into free agency. And you're just a guy without a home. I don't know if anybody's going to... You can't bring him in and pay him. What do you pay him? I don't think you can franchise tag him.
He's only 28.
I know. But coming
which is
off
what I wanted
Achilles,
to look up.
Man.
It is an Achilles.
It's just the money that he lost now. It's massive.
Or, well, what if when he comes back in 2 months, it'll only be... The Super Bowl will barely be over. And
from an Achilles? You think he comes back in 2 months? I think it's me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It'd be much longer.
Yeah, what am I talking about?
I just think, with that injury and the timing of it.
My bad. I was thinking about something else.
Yeah, he lost so much money with that injury. It's really
so let me see when, so if it's December now. Oh, so you're right. Summer. Yeah, he won't be ready.
How can you commit
summer.
To him? You can't. That's significant money. I don't know if you can put the tag on him. He's in a tough spot.
He had a one-year, $14 million deal this year. What did my Vikes pay to maybe 10?
Couldn't have been much,
less,
right? Yeah, couldn't have been that much.
Somewhere around there?
Yeah.
No, that was Darnold.
Okay.
Was that I don't even know what they were paying him.
Like, I could have easily seen the Colts hitting him with, I don't know, $90 million, maybe $100 million over 3-4 years or something like that. You can't do it now. You can't.
And so, the saddest part of all is that he was playing hurt. And no one will know whether this is true or not, whether that factored in to the Achilles injury. But, I looked at the franchise tag for next year. Franchise tag for next year is going to be right around $45, $46 million.
Mm.
So that triples his current salary.
I don't think we could do that if you could tag the Colts front office. And they're in a very odd spot, too, because they can't really believe in Anthony Richardson in-house. So it's not like, hey, we got this young guy that's ready to go.
You know,
so, where do they go?
They're going to bring Philip back.
They might.
I almost brought up Anthony Richardson a couple of segments ago when we were talking about Shedeur Sanders and whether or not he was willing to chase down an interception. I almost said he should have done what Anthony Richardson did in college against Kentucky, and that is start chasing the interception before the ball is even caught because he realized midway through the ball in the air that it's going the other way.
Anthony Richardson did one of the worst things you can do, and that's tap out. Remember that? When he just like, I'm done. I'm tapping out.
You know, like, we've seen that in other sports, though. Maybe football, it's not allowed, but we've seen guys... You know,
and basketball, you'll see running backs every once in a while after a couple long runs. But at the quarterback, it was just odd for a quarterback. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm done.
There's like a 50-50 shot that the next play is a handoff anyway.
Right.
Like, and if you are passing, it's probably not a rollout.
How blown up can you really be?
You're dropping back a few steps. And he's like, hey, man, I need a blow.
I'm done. Get me out of here.
Like, what?
So that was last year against the Texans. And did he admit that he was tired? It wasn't a...
I don't remember what he said after the game. I really don't.
I thought
he didn't go to the tent or anything. I think it was just a one-play sit-out.
He's exhausted. Was it a running play?
I don't know.
I mean, he ran the ball.
That's what I mean.
It was definitely like he like looped one way, worked all the way back to the other side of the field.
Okay, so he was out of breath.
But I've never seen even running quarterbacks do that. Like, as much as Lamar's runner, I've never seen him.
But he weighs 250.
But still, like, I've never seen a guy tap out after that. That's just a horrible
thing. We'd have to go back and look at the series and see if... He just was on fumes.
It's a horrible...
If we haven't heard any defense by now, then there was no defense.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Hey, before we go, you miss anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you got to do is type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to three. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well. Bet365 is the sponsor of the Rothman and Ice podcast. Coming up next, Common Man and Timmy. No Timmy, former Buckeye, Olin Tangi's own Joshua Perry in with Common Man. Tomorrow, AR, Shefty,
Bobby Carpenter. Shefty for sure. Try to zero in on Z for Hockey and Hounds, all that. What if he would have gone with a Petrino?
Coach, how did you end up again from the side?
Tyvus, how did you in the ditch?
And how did you get from the side of the accident to the hospital?
Well, when I came out of a ditch, there was a lady there that had flagged down a car.
I was going to bring that up to Tyvus today. How did you get from the ditch to the station? The cops. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Give the gift.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose, so you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spreads, totals, or player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet just $5. It's the only betting app I use. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.